ബ്രഹ്മചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് കി ജയ നിത്യല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് താക്കൂർ കി പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്ത വൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോവിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാ കുണ്ടഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്ത വൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudalaya Shri Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dinamini. Namaste Sarasvadevam Gauravani Prajarini. Nuvishyavishunyavadi Pashyati Jishadarini. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ
ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി
വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാനസ്യ ശ്ലാഘയ ലിതാം തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ സ്ഥാപിതം ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാഫലകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ ശ്രീരോഹം ഭാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാ കൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതം ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണി വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി നാമിനി ശ്രീവർഷവാദിനി ദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ദയെ കൃഷ്ണ സംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമ മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിദ ശ്രീഗൗരവരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂർത്തയേ ദീനദാരിണി രൂപാരൂപ വിരുദ്ധാപസിദ്ധാന്തധാരിണി നമോ ഗൗരകിശോരായ സാക്ഷാൽ വൈരാഗ്രമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബരസാമോദേ പദാംജായതേ നമഃ നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനി ഗൗരശക്തി സ്വരൂപായ രൂപനോ ഗൗരായതേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവമേഷ്ടാസജന പ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവാസവഭവ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായ സിന്ധു ഹരിദാനാഭ്യോ വൈഷവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ നമോ മഹാഭദന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമ പ്രദായ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണേ നമഃ കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താധ്യം നമാമി ഗന്ധശാസ്ത്രീയം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാസിന്ധു ദീനബന്ധോ ജന്മനി ഗോപേശോദിഗാതാന്തമോസ്തുലോമാർഗതി മത്സർവസ്വതാംബോജോ രാധാമദനമോഹന ൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപ്രുമാത ശ്രീമദ്ഗ്രന്ഥാകര സിംഹാസനസ്ഥോ ശ്രീ ശ്രീരാജശ്രീലഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രശാളിമീശയമാനോ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്ദ്രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീവടതടർത്തിത കർഷൻ വേണുസ്വരേർഗോവേർഗോവിനാശ്രീയേസ്വനാഞ്ജനഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി പ്രസവാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద
హరే కృష్ణ కృష్ణ హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే
ఓం పాఠాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణ మునినా మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీం భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీ అంబ త్వామనుసంతదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీ నమోస్తు తే వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే భుల్లారవిందాయత వక్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైక పాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతే నమః సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాల నందన పాతో వల్స సుధీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవ సుదం దేవం కంసచారూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణతటాజయంద్రదజల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవతి కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమకర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోత్తీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పరాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం జ్ఞానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరికథ సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహరః పేవీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యత్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణీంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్నుంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్వేదైర్ సాంగపదైర్క్రమోపనిషదైర్ గాయంతి యం సమగాః ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్యాంగం న విదుసురా సురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. What we have seen last Sunday is the verse 25, isn't it? That's what we were talking about. A complicated verse, because Krishna is saying that in the verse 24, Krishna spoke about the understanding Prakriti and the Gunam and the Purusha. Purusha, Prakriti and Gunam. Krishna mentioned there that the one who understands the process of Ya evam veti purusham prakritim cha gunai saha sarvada vartamanovi nasabhuyovi jayate, which we have talked about in this. And if you look at that purport, Prabhupada mentions there that in the translation, Prabhupada mentions one who understands this philosophy concerning material nature, the living entity and the interaction of the modes of material nature is sure to attain liberation. He will not take birth here again regardless of his present position. Then purport says, clear understanding of material nature, the super soul, the individual soul and their interaction makes one eligible to become liberated and turn to the spiritual atmosphere without being forced to return to this material nature. This is the result of knowledge. The purpose of knowledge is to understand distinctly that the living entity has by chance fallen into this material existence. By his personal endeavor in association with authorities, saintly persons and spiritual master, he has to understand his position and then revert to spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness by understanding Bhagavad Gita as it is explained by the personality of Godhead. Then it is certain that he will never come again into this material existence. He will be transferred into the spiritual world for a blissful, eternal life of knowledge. So you can see that in that verse, when Krishna mentioned about the Purusham, evam veti Purusham prakritinja gunai saha, we saw there that the understanding that modes of material nature is in the prakriti. Modes of material nature is in the prakriti. And I am Purusha. Taking that, that understanding that Purusha has nothing to do with prakriti. When Purusha identifies with the prakriti, then the problem begins from that. So, therefore, it says this happiness and distress and then all other emotions like anger, greed, lust and things like that, all of them exist in the prakriti. They are not in our swarupam, in our identity. Doesn't exist. My identity, our every one of us, our spiritual identity is eternal, blissful knowledge and pure, always liberated. That is our state. So that is one understanding. And shamadhamam vivekam vairagyam, all that is, that means control of the mind and senses, discrimination, renunciation, all these things are necessary to develop that understanding. And if we become fixed up in that state, then we will come to our Surubhasthiti, what Krishna calls it as Surubhasthiti. So that is the process of meditation. Now, in the next verse, Krishna is going to talk about three processes there. The process of dhyanam, the process of knowledge and the process of karma. Three things Krishna is going to explain in the next verse. We mentioned also there that in this dhyanamargam, dhyanam is a very important thing to know it. What does this dhyanam means? That itself is very quite misunderstood, that word. Dhyanam in the modern world generally refers to meditation, isn't it? Actually, dhyanam is not simply the word meditation. Meditation means, suppose you are meditating on any material object, that is not dhyanam. Suppose you are meditating on any object in this world, then that is not dhyanam. Dhyanam is only when it is a spiritual realization. If it comes from the spiritual angle, only then it is dhyanam. So, here what you have to remember is that knowing very well the nature of prakriti, we are within the prakriti. And Krishna is saying that you have to transcend the prakriti while being within the prakriti. While being within the prakriti. So, keeping the prakriti with us, that we are trying to transcend the prakriti. And Krishna has spoken about the nature of the prakriti. It is very difficult to overcome. Krishna says that, is it not? So dhyana yoga means that mind, intelligence, false ego, none of them is me. None of them is me. And neither any of the senses is me. Nor any of the material elements is me. None of them are me. My pure nature is eternal, blissful and knowledge. That realization, that is dhyanam. So, dhyana yogam, that is a process for realizing the self. And through that, what will happen is that you will come to the state of yoga state. Come to a yoga state which is called the nirvikalpa state. Nirvikalpa yogam it is called. Which is again different from nirvikalpa bodham. Bodham is consciousness. Yogam is what is achieved through dhyanam. Yogam is what is achieved through dhyanam. So, the yogam, nirvikalpa bodham is permanent. So, by going through this process of dhyanam, one will come to understand that I am not this body, I am not this mind, I am not the intelligence, and none of the false ego, but my pure nature is Chidananda Rupam, eternal blissful nature of the Chidananda Rupam, full of bliss and knowledge. That is my identity. And that is what people follow through this process of Dhyana Margam, and some people go follow through the process of Sankhya Margam, Sankhyam. So these two things Krishna is going to explain in the next verse, and it is very difficult to know the difference between the two. That is also there in the story. Anyway, let's look at that verse 25. So, dhyane nalpani pashyanti,
dhyane nalpani pashyanti,
kechit
atmanam
atmanam,
kechit atmanam atmanam,
anye sankhena yogena,
anye sankhena yogena,
karma yogena chapare,
karma yogena chapare,
dhyane nalpani pashyanti,
dhyane nalpani pashyanti,
kechit atmanam atmanam,
kechit atmanam atmanam,
anye sankhena yogena,
anye sankhena yogena,
karma yogena chapare,
karma yogena chapare,
dhyane nalpani pashyanti kechit atmanam atmanam, anye sankhena yogena karma yogena chapare. The super soul is perceived by some through meditation, by some through the cultivation of knowledge, and by others through working without fruitive desire. Now, in that verse, a lot of things spoken there. First of all, Krishna is saying, dhyane nalpani pashyanti. Dhyanam, what does dhyanam mean? That is the most important thing there. What does dhyanam mean? Dhyanam definition itself is quite complex. So, dhyane nalpani pashyanti. Dhyanam nama. Shabdadibhyo vishayebhyaha shrotradini karanani manasi upasamhrutya manaha cha pratyak chetaidri ekagrada yal chindanam tad dhyanam. In other words, dhyanam means that from the different sense objects means the objects of vision, objects of hearing, shabdam and shabdam rupam, objects of the form, rasam, taste, gandham, smell, all those sense objects, withdrawing the senses from that sense objects and focusing the mind in the self, and able to stay in that state is called dhyanam. So you can see dhyanam, what normally Prabhupada also has used the same word meditation, because there is no other word. Meditation does not mean dhyanam really. When you say dhyanam, dhyanam means all this is involved. Withdrawing the senses from the sense objects and absorbing the mind in the self and able to stay in that state continuously, that is called dhyanam. They give the example like the sometimes the birds, crane and others, they'll stand in one leg, they'll stand on one leg for a long period of time. And when you see their concentration in standing that is given as an example. Or they give the example in the Shastram that like the mountains who are always steady, they don't move, isn't it? Very stable everywhere. The big mountains, they remain stable and appears as though they are in meditation. Or Mother Earth, she is in a meditation. When you come out in the morning and look at the earth, how stable and quiet she is, that nature, that dhyanavastha, dhyanavasthita tadgadena manasa pashyandiyam yogino, in the Bhagavatam says. So dhyanavastha, or that state of dhyanam, is this, that able to focus, withdrawing all the senses from the sense objects, and able to completely focus the mind on the self, without any distraction. And that is called dhyanavastha. And that has to be continuous, without any interruptions. And And in that way, they come to know in the through in that thought process, and in that way being situated, that is called dhyanam. That is called dhyanam. Tad dhyanam. Dhyayadiva bhagat dhyayadiva prithivi dhyayandiva parvadaha. Iri upamavadana thailadharavat santataha avichinna pratyayo dhyanam. Tena dhyanena atmani buddhau pashyanti atmanam pratyachedanam atma atmana dhyana samskrutena antakaranena kechit yoginam. So here Krishna is saying here that pratyakcheda idavaya, that means pratyakchedana means that the andaralma or andaryami, and who Krishna has spoken before as Ubadrashta, Anumanda and Bharta and Bhokta, isn't in the previous verses he spoke about that, but able to withdraw the mind from the senses and sense objects, withdrawing the senses from the sense objects, and to focus the mind on the Antaratma, who is inside as Antaryami, and being stayed there in that state of focused on Ubad, who is known as, Krishna calls in the previous verses, Ubadrashta, Anumanta, and Bharta, and Bhokta, and Maheshwara. Five things he spoke about that there. Then, if you are able to fix your mind on that, and that is called dhyanam. And there is that thought, at that time there is thoughts in there, and that thoughts is dhyanam. So, in other words, at that time he remembers that I am that. I am that. I am pure consciousness or soul. In this Shabdhanuvidha Nurvigalpa Samadhi, they give a little bit more detailed explanation to that. A samadhi state comes from that, and then with that shabdham or that nirvikalpa samadhi state, I am conscious, so that I am pure consciousness, I am Brahman, and I am not this body, I am not the mind, and removing that, and in this way, you fix yourself on your swarupam, on your identity, that dhyanam. So, tachit dhyanam, and that dhyanam, Krishna is saying here, through that dhyanam, kejit almanam pashyanti. Through that process, they experience the soul. They experience the soul. That's what Krishna is saying. That kejit almanam, dhyanen almani pashyanti, kejit almanam almani. That is what it is. Dhyanen almani pashyanti, kejit almanam almani. Almanam almani pashyande anye. This is one group of people follow this process. One group of people follow this process of dhyanam. This process of dhyanam. Another group of people, Krishna is saying here, little bit higher than this. Their process is Sankhyam. Process is Sankhyam. Sankhyam mentions here that Sankhyam namaha anya Sankhyena yogena Sankhyam nama ime. What Sankhya means, Sattu Rajas Tamamsi Guna Maya Drishya Aham Tebhya Anya Tad Vyabhara Sakshi Bodho Nityo Guna Vilakshana Alma Idi Chindanam. Esha Sankhya Yogaha Tena Pashyandi Almanam Almana Idi Vartate. How do they know through Sankhyam? Through Dhyanam they come to know the Self in this way, Alma in that way. Through Sankhyam they come to know in this way that Atma, the Self, is separate from the three modes of material nature, Sattvam, Rajasa and Tamasa. And the nature of the Self is Nirgunam. In other words, he is a pure witness, pure Sakshi or witness. And if you go in that way, realize the Self, that is Sankhyam. That is Sankhyam. And so these two are two different ways what Krishna is explaining here, knowing that Satturajastamo Gunam, the three modes of nature, does not exist in me. Knowing that, is through that way, if you realize it, it is Sankhyam. And instead, if you withdraw the senses from the sense objects, if you withdraw the senses from the sense objects, and focus the mind on the Self, focus the mind on the self, and able to stay in that way and realizing the self in that way is called dhyanam. So these two processes Krishna is discussing in this, and both these processes are correct, and they are both people follow. These both processes people do follow. Dhyanamargam is withdrawing the senses from the sense objects and focusing the mind on the self, and that is one way of reaching the self. One way of reaching the self. When you do that, what is happening is that the mind is completely absorbed in the self and not allowing the senses or sense objects to disturb that. That means it is dhyanam it is. Dhyanam means, the English translation is meditation, but it is more than that. Dhyanam means only it means this, nothing else. For example, people will say you can meditate on so many objects in this world, some form or any other object you can meditate. That's also meditation, but dhyanam is not that. It is only dhyanam if it is done in this way. That means withdrawing the senses from the sense objects and focusing the mind in the self, completely fixed in the self, and realizing the self in that way. That is the process of the dhyanamargam. So Krishna is saying here, kejit dhyanen almani pashyanti kejit almanam almani. Some people go in this way, he says. Dhyanen almani pashyanti. They find the Atma through this kejit almanam almani. Some people follow that route. Anye, others, Sankhyena Yogena, through the process of Sankhyam. In Sankhyam, what is important is that, remember Krishna has spoken before, that there is the influence of three modes of material nature in us. If you separate yourself from the modes of nature, and you are able to identify with the soul, withdrawn from the effects of the modes of nature, or in other words, modes of nature is not anymore, has any impact on you, rather you are able to be situated as within the self as a witness. That is what Krishna is saying here. That state, that is Sankhyam. That is Sankhyam. So that is Sankhya Yogam. So it is here that where one reaches that self through awareness or consciousness. Just like they give the example. When they realize through Sankhyam, they realize that they are actually that Bodham, awareness. They are becoming conscious of that awareness inside. Bodham, Avabodham it is called. They give the example in the Shastram as the chain that was hanging on in your own neck. And you are searching for that chain everywhere else. But when somebody points out to you that it is lying in your neck, and you realizing that straight away that that's me, it's mine. It's there. I don't have to search for that anymore. In this way, you realize that up to that point, you were in the grip of the three modes of material nature. But when you became free yourself from the modes of nature and realized yourself what you are, that is Sankhyam. Or they also give the example that some people sometimes, as they say, when you get older, they keep the glass on the top of their nose, and they are searching for the glass everywhere. And suddenly someone tells him to the grandfather, the grandson or grandchild says to him, "Granddad, your glass is on your nose." Then he realizes that you were searching for the glass, keeping the glass on the nose himself. So just like that, we lost that awareness of the self. We coming back to that awareness when somebody points out to us, and we become aware of that. Similarly, when we come to realize that the self is nothing to do with the three modes of material nature, up to this point you are always with the modes of nature, sattvam, rajas and tamas. When you somehow or the other get yourself freed from the modes of nature, and then you go back to your own self and start seeing the self independent of the modes of nature, then that is Sankhyam. This is the difference between the dhyana process and the Sankhyam process. Dhyanam and the Sankhyam. So, at that point you realize that you are just a sakshi or witness, and that is Sankhyam. So, I am Atma, I am Brahman, and I am liberated. All these things, if you come to that understanding through your imagination and finally through meditation, it is called Dhyanam. It is called Dhyanam. I am Alpa, I am Brahmam, I am liberated. Realizing that after getting freed yourself from the three modes of material nature, it is called Sankhyam. This is the difference between the two, between the Dhyanam and the Sankhyam. Even if you read that purport on that verse, what Prabhupada has given there, it's a bit difficult to understand what exactly the verse is talking about. And because it is a difficult verse, Dhyanam, and these are, because these things, difference between Dhyanam and Sankhyam, even though I can put it through words, till we experience it, you won't know it. That is the difference. That's the difficulty. The difference between Dhyanam and Sankhyam, only when one experiences it, that one will know that. That is why that verse is difficult. Dhyanena alpani pashyanti kejit alpanam alpana. Anye sankhyena yogena. Anye sankhyena yogena. Karma yogena chapare. So that is that verse. Dhyanam and Sankhyam. Two different processes Krishna has spoken. Finally, you are realizing the same thing. I am self, I am the soul, and I am Brahman, and I am liberated. This same realization comes through two different ways. Through the process of Dhyanam and through the process of Sankhyam. But the difference can only be spoken about when after one has experienced that. Otherwise, it is difficult. It can only be put into the words in that way. One is Nitya Yogam and the other one is an experience. Other one is an experience. But it is necessary because it's only through that you can come to the other one. One is a yogam and the other one is a bodham. So, if you know that difference between yogam and bodham, they are two different things. Yogam is what you have come through this process of yogam is what you have come through the process of Dhyanam. And Bodham is what you have come through the process of Sankhyam. All these words, there is no equivalent in English. First thing, first problem. So it's right, best thing is to take the words as such because it will mean something then. When you translate it into English and then you start explaining it, it will all come out in a different way. That is why when you read that purport, it won't make any head and tail. You can read through as many times as you want that purport of that verse 25 and still you won't know what that verse is saying. It is so difficult. So many times I try to understand that purport of that verse, but it is not making any, not getting any head and tail of that verse. It's so difficult, that is. And only after reading through so many other commentaries, you get a little understanding of that, but again, they are also saying that this difference, you will only understand if you experience it. Otherwise, it's not possible. Because what you are experiencing finally is the same thing, but you are coming through two different ways. One through Dhyanam and one through Sankhyam. And both involves, through Sankhyam and Dhyanam, both involves, Sankhyam involves this withdrawing the senses from the sense objects. And focusing the mind on the self. That is Dhyanam. Sankhyam involves to separating yourself from the grip of the modes of material nature. And able to focus on the self as a witness all the time. As a witness all the time. This difference, although it can be spoken, but till it experience level, if it does not come till the experience level, this won't make any sense. It will remain as simply words. That's all. But at least that much you can understand that how sophisticated that verse is, how complex that verse is. Both are talking about realization. One Dhyanam also talking about realization and Sankhyam is also talking about the same realization. But they are coming through two different ways. Both very subtle. Dhyanam is also subtle and Sankhyam is also very subtle. So that is why, therefore, through both Sankhyam and Dhyanam, through both the processes, you can realize the self. Krishna is saying there. But here, the other problem is, there's no point in having Dhyanam of anything in the world. There's no good. You can have meditation of any object in this world, isn't it? Suppose you are attracted to Himalayas, you can meditate on the Himalayas. Or you can attracted by the Atlantic Ocean, you can meditate on the Atlantic Ocean. Or some form of any person, you can meditate. That is no good. This Dhyanam has to be in this way, that if you remember, in the 12th chapter, we had this difficulty about Dhyanam. There was a statement, Yanal Dhyanam Vishishyade. Remember that? If you look into that verse, Jnanal Dhyanam Vishishyade Dhyanal Karma Balatyagam Tyagal Shandiranandaram. It was also in a similar way a little bit confusing, in the sense that Shreyohi Jnanam Abhyasal. Now this verse is also very confusing. Remember this? We talked about that. Shreyohi Jnanam Abhyasal Jnanal Dhyanam Vishishyade Dhyanal Karma Balatyagam Tyagal Shandiranandaram. Now, Shreyohi Jnanam Abhyasal, cultivation of knowledge is superior to practicing Abhyasam, says. Then, next one is saying that better than knowledge, however, is meditation, and better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. On that second line, Jnanal Dhyanam Vishishyade, there is a lot of disagreement on that, because Dhyanam cannot be superior to Jnanam. It is not possible. Because it is from Jnanam, Dhyanam comes. So if you say Dhyanam is superior to Jnanam, it won't make sense. So that is why what they mentions there, that normally people say, better than Jnanam is Dhyanam. But if you say like that, it will become very complicated, because from Jnanam comes Dhyanam. From Jnanam comes Dhyanam. Without Jnanam, you can't have Dhyanam, first thing. So because it is like that, there, what exactly that word is, Jnanal Dhyanam Vishishyade means, it is not from superior to Jnanam is Dhyanam, rather because of Jnanam, Dhyanam becomes Vishishtade. Jnanam becomes excellent. If there is Jnanam, then Dhyanam becomes good. Dhyanam becomes very good. The Dhyanam becomes good if there is Jnanam. That is how you have to look at that verse. Otherwise, it is very much contradicting other places in the Bhagavad Gita. It will contradict. Because in many places, Krishna is saying, Jnani is very dear to me. Never he said, person who is in meditation is dear to me. What I was saying before, that when you are reading any verse in the Bhagavad Gita, and if you have a conflict with another verse previously, you have to know how to compromise these two. Otherwise, it won't make any sense. When Krishna has glorified Jnanam so much in the previous chapters, and here he is saying, better than Jnanam is Dhyanam, that is contradiction. But there is no contradiction. That is why acharyas have given this understanding to us, that your Dhyanam becomes excellent if there is Jnanam. That is the way you have to connect it. Otherwise, it will conflict with the verses in the 4th and 5th chapters. It is a problem there. It's no point in studying Bhagavad Gita superficially. You just have to go deeper into it and see that connection between Jnanam, Dhyanam, Karmam, Sanghyam, Yogam, everything in its own way, and that interaction between all of them. Otherwise, it will be very confusing. Otherwise, you are not studying Bhagavad Gita. You are only studying Bhagavad Gita. What Krishna is saying in one verse, you can quote that to somebody. But then that person asks you that, like Krishna says like this in the 4th chapter, how will you answer that? You should have an answer for that. Otherwise, how can you explain that? Studying Bhagavad Gita means that resolving all these different conflicts that's likely to happen within our mind. And that is why it requires the help of the Bhashyam commentary. because the capacity of the acharyas are that they were able to take each of these verses and go into very deep level and analyze them. Otherwise, it will simply remain on the surface, and that is no use. That's not solving the our problem. Otherwise, it will simply become an instruction manual, Bhagavad Gita. And we don't want that. Bhagavad Gita is not an instruction manual. It is a very science of the soul and the process of realizing the self. How can you make it? It has to be without any conflict inside. It has to remain like that. That once you take Bhagavad Gita in the heart, it has to be without any conflict inside. Otherwise, it is not making any sense. So, that is why Krishna is saying here that through the jnanal jnanam vishishyade, this jnanad means that with the power of jnanam, jnanam becomes very good. Jnanam becomes very good. So, otherwise, it will become something like this. Suppose if you take this verse, how it is spoken there, jnanal jnanam vishishyade, jnanam is superior to jnanam, if you take it like that. If you have a dhyanam of any object in this world, will you become liberated? You won't, would you? So shastram, for example, if you take for scientists, they are very good in thinking in a deeper level, isn't it? For example, scientists in the chemistry lab or physics laboratory, he is also involved in dhyanam. He is also doing dhyanam on the particular problem what is, but he is not going to get liberated. He will still in the very much in the material world. And he will remain in the material world. So, only through jnanam, if your dhyanam works, that dhyanam will lead into liberation. You understand that problem? So many people are doing dhyanam. Big scientists who are absorbed in scientists and very thoughtful people, I'm saying, in the big universities and all, who have got that nature of thinking nature. And who absorbs very deeply into subjects, which leads into Nobel Prize and inventions and all that, they are also in dhyanam. But only thing is, that dhyanam won't lead into liberation. Why? Because there is no jnanam there. Jnanal dhyanam vishishyade. Through jnanam, if there is dhyanam, that dhyanam is good. Otherwise, it is not. So, anything if you perform dhyanam, you are not going to get liberated. So, first thing is dhyanam. What should we make dhyanam of? What should be the object of dhyanam, isn't it? And that dhyanam becomes excellent with jnanam. That is the way it is. Dhyanam becomes excellent with the jnanam. What does jnanam show? Jnanam shows altmanam dhyayed. Altmanam dhyayed. Absorbed in the Atma. So, Jnanam brings the Atma for meditation and Dhyanam is for the meditation on the self. Meditation on the self. So, leaving the sense objects and absorbing in the Surupam on the self, by doing that, leaving the sense objects and absorbing in the self, that Bodhanam, through that, dhyanam becomes excellent. And dhyanam, that becomes a adhyatma sadhana. It becomes a sadhana. So, that is what dhyanam Krishna is talking about here. Do not think about this dhyanam in the way the meditation schools and all are talking about. That dhyanam will not help. Because that dhyanam, so many people, in so many ways, they present this meditation. In the meditation centers and yoga institutes and all that. But Krishna is not talking about that. Krishna is saying here that dhyanam accompanied with jnanam will lead into this understanding. So, normally you can see that spiritual life means that people say, oh, we had a 1 hour meditation in the yoga institute or something like that, isn't it? And many people, you also have to remember other things, the goal. Many people are not doing meditation for the spiritual life, isn't it? For the spiritual life. Some people advertise that if you do meditation, you will become more beautiful. You will become very youthful and you will become very good looking. And you will feel a kind of aura around your face and you become very attractive to others and things like that. And some people advertise that you will become very healthy if you like, you can see all now everywhere these meditation classes are going on in all these what do they call these places, David Lloyd's and all these places. There is meditation going on. They are all teaching meditation. They are saying like that. And even the doctors are saying that if you have blood pressure, you go for this meditation classes. They go for meditation classes for to get rid of the blood pressure. Meditation will help. But actual meditation is for getting BP, not for getting rid of BP. Only difference is that BP is blood pressure and this BP is Bhagavan's protection. There's two different BPs. Krishna's protection is the BP. So we want BP. We don't want to get rid of BP. We want the BP. So that's the way it has to be seen. So dhyanam is not for the body. Dhyanam is never for the body. Whereas in all the meditation centers, they are focusing on the body. I'm telling you about that. In fact, body is meant for the purpose of meditation, for dhyanam, isn't it? And dhyanam is not for the purpose for the mind or for the false ego either. And then Krishna puts it like this, jnana agni sarva karmanam bhasmasad kurude arjuna. In the through the jnanam, it becomes dhyanam and it becomes a fire when it becomes a dhyanam. When jnanam becomes a dhyanam, it becomes a fire inside. Fire means that in that dhyanam, both the mind and the false ego has to be offered. That means they cannot exist anymore. False ego has to go, the mind has to go, and only the self has to stay. That is that state Krishna is talking about. Only then there will be some benefit spiritually from that dhyanam. Till the mind gets completely destroyed inside, as well as the ego gets completely wiped out inside, that dhyanam is no use. That dhyanam is not use. Whereas in these advertised processes of meditation, ego is still there. Mind is still there. Even though you are engaged in meditation classes and all that, if you are not freeing yourself from the influence of the mind and the ego, then that dhyanam has not done anything to you. So dhyanam will only happen if you are connected with the self or with Krishna, in other words. So sometimes they say that some people, they say you light a lamp and keep it in front of the lamp and focus on the lamp and keeping the lamp and meditation on that, on the front of the lamp. But that you can do, but it will not have the effect of the meditation, dhyanam inside. It will have a stupefying effect on you, but it won't have the final result what is expected from there. So that's why they say that the person who is in that stupefied state, he is called stupid, isn't it? That's what it is, the stupid means. He's stupid, he is. He's not doing the right thing. So therefore, it will not become dhyanam. In other words, suppose you have, some people suggest like that you have a lamp which is lighted and stay in front of that and engage in meditation. In other words, if you think about so many different objects, it won't become dhyanam. That's the point. Dhyanam means when it is executed with jnanam. So that verse in the 12th chapter and this verse has to be related each other. They are related each other. And if you read this verse, and if the other verse you have misunderstood, it will create a conflict inside. Definitely it will create a conflict. Because the last verse that says, jnanal dhyanam visheshade. And here Krishna is saying here that keji dhyanen alpani pashyanti keji dalpanam alpani. So here again, so this dhyanam one has to know, with knowledge dhyanam has to be performed. So dhyanam, there is two kinds of dhyanam, sagunam and sagaram. That's the way, sagunam and sagaram. In other words, sagaram means that Krishna's form. Meditating on the form of Krishna. That is sagaram, the form of Krishna. Sagunam means Krishna's transcendental qualities, meditation on that. For like pastimes, all Krishna's various transcendental qualities. Like Krishna's eternity, Krishna's opulences, Krishna's mercy, Krishna's love for the devotees, and Krishna's compassion for the conditioned souls, and Krishna's all-powerful nature of Krishna in all circumstances, his controlling power. Like these various transcendental qualities of Krishna, meditating on that. So one is Sagunam and the other one is Sagaram. Sagaram is just the form. The attracted by Krishna's beauty, and even while meditating on that form, there is a process. You just have to follow that process. How to see Krishna's form within the self. Within the self. This whole process, the 6th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita and in the 12th chapter in the Ekadasha Skandam covers that. They both discuss. In Bhagavatam, there are two places where meditation of the form is spoken. One in the Kapila Vasudeva to Devahuti Devi, other one Krishna to Uddhava. Talks about meditation of the form in two different places. Then that is Sagaram, form of meditation of Krishna. Dhyanam. The other one is Sagunam. Sagunam is Krishna's qualities. Qualities means transcendental qualities. Like all these various transcendental qualities like Krishna's opulences, Krishna's renunciation, Krishna's transcendental nature, and Krishna's eternity, Krishna's compassion, Krishna's loving relationship with the devotees. All these are meant for meditation of Sagunam, Sagunam meditation of Krishna. This is there in the Bhagavadam also. Bhagavadam also it is there. If you study 3rd canto, 25th to 33rd chapter, Kapilam it's called, Kapila Maharshi discussed this, about this Dhyanam in this way. He discusses both the form, Sagaram and Sagunam. Both he discusses in that Kapilam. In the Bhagavadam Ekadasha Skandam, while Krishna is talking to Uddhava, he only discusses about that Sagaram form of meditation. In the Bhagavad Gita also, it is Sagaram, that meditation. But both exist, Sagunam and Sagaram. Sagunam means with all the transcendental qualities. Sagaram means Krishna's beautiful form. Whichever way you can choose, that way it is, according to one's. So, now, this Dhyanam, Sagunam or Sagaram, eventually it will become Nirgunam. Nirgunam means, we should not think that it has no quality, no transcendence. That's not what it means. Sagunam will become Nirgunam. When does it become Nirgunam? Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavadam. For example, the way you can understand that is, Vanam to Satyo Vasam. For example, living in the forest is Satyagunam. Living in the forest is Satyagunam. Gramam Rajasam Uchyate. If you live in a village, it is Rajasam, mode of passion. Tamasam Dyuda Sadhanam. If you live in the city, and cities where Dyuda Sadhanam means places where gambling goes on. Gambling centers, in other words. You don't have to live in the gambling center, but around that area, which means the town, cities and towns like that. Tamasam Dyuda Sadhanam. So, based on these three modes of nature, Krishna says, a person's modes of nature can be explained. One who lives in the forest is in the mood of goodness. One who lives in the village is in the mood of passion. And one who lives in the city is in the mood of tamogunam, ignorance. So, vanam tu satyagyo vasam, gramam rajasam uchyade, tamasam dyuda sadhanam. And then Krishna says, man niyedam tu nirgunam. One who lives in the temple, he is nirgunam. He is nirgunam. Now, that does not mean that that just because everybody lives in the temple, he is nirgunam. That also is not what it means. That you got to should not get confused with all these things. When Krishna is saying this, that the nirgunam means that he has gone beyond the three modes of material nature. It's not the physical thing. What Krishna is saying like that. It's not the physical thing. Generally, forests is associated with goodness. Villages are associated with Rajasam and cities are associated with Tamasam. That does not mean that there is no one in the mood of goodness in the city and everyone in the forest is in the mood of goodness. That's not what it means. that we have to know how to understand it properly. So what Krishna says here, that this nirgunam is beyond these three modes. In sagunam, the modes are there. But when you transcend the three modes, then it is nirgunam. But while in meditation, you have the sagunam and sagaram, isn't it? But after that, you come to nirguna stage. Then nirguna stage means it is completely fixed in Krishna. There is no more any, in other words, nirguna means you have gone beyond the modes of nature, sattvam, rajasa and tamasa. So in nirgunam only that shanti is there, or swarupa anubhuti, or one's own realization of the self exists in the nirgunam stage. There is nothing else there except self realization. That is the difference between the sagunam and nirgunam. You will see these words coming often in the Upanishads also and the Bhagavatam also. That means crossing beyond these three modes, sattvam, rajasa and tamasa, and staying in the and situated in the self, that is called nirguna, nirguna dhyanam, nirguna dhyanam, Krishna calls it as. So from this you can understand that meditation you can't learn. It's not something you can learn. You can't learn meditation, and nobody can teach you meditation. Nobody can teach you meditation. And because if you go in that route, you will get cheated. You will get cheated. Because people, because of the advertisement of this meditation business in all places, meditation, meditation, they keep advertising. Isn't it? It has become a full package now with the gym, saunas, all the other things with that. Meditation also gives you a full package together. So what they are saying is that this meditation is not something that you can practice it. It has to happen inside. And it has to happen through knowledge. It has to come in a natural way. It has to develop within. Only then it will become meditation. If you try to, sometimes people decide that I'll do 1 hour meditation. Whole day they have been working in the office. And in the evening they go into a yoga institute and go for an hour meditation. Now you can imagine what they will meditate upon after whole day at the office, where the mind will be, is it not? That is not meditation. That is actually you are getting cheated by that. You are cheating yourself, in other words, that it's not meditation. What Krishna is talking about, that meditation, dhyanam, is in a natural way through jnanam, that dhyanam must develop within yourself. In a natural way, it has to come from within. And if it happens like that, then dhyanam will lead into this knowledge of the self. That's what Krishna is saying there. So, there were examples sometimes. You will see this one person mentioned that he purchased, there's some companies who market seats for meditation. They charge you a lot more money. Just an ordinary seat. $50 or $100 they sell, and they say that if you sit on that seat you will get meditation, you can meditate better. So in other words, they made meditation a kind of activity, is it not? That's what they say. So then one person who bought that seat paid $100 whatever, and he sat on that and he said he fell asleep, he couldn't get up from that anymore. So he was saying his own experience that it is not possible to get dhyanam by sitting on a place alone. But it has to come within in a natural way. Then only it can become a dhyanam. Otherwise it will not. So in order to engage in dhyanam, you have to have the jnanam with it. Because if you do not know the goal, how will you meditate? What will you meditate upon? That is why, for dhyanam, without knowing the goal, what will you meditate upon? So, what purpose will you meditate? So, this question will come. And what is the purpose of meditation? How to do that? In other words, dhyanam has to come in a natural way inside. Sahajam. Sahajam means in a natural way it has to come. So, in our own material body, you and me lose our attachment to this body. when we lose our attachment to this body, and these are the requirements for dhyanam to happen. When we lose our attachment to the body, number one. When the mind is acting in this world according to dharma, without breaking the laws of dharma, that, in other words, that when the mind does not go in any wrong way, operate in this world, which means that generally referred to varnashrama dharma, but at least fixed in the principles what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. So when the mind body is free from its attachment, when you are freed from the attachment to the body, when the mind is free operating in this world based on dharma, and intelligence is purified with the knowledge of the self from the shastra, all these three things has to happen. And when that happens, in a natural way, the senses will free itself from raga dvesham. The ragam and dvesham will go away from the senses. Indriyas will not be, indriyam or senses will not have any raga dvesham coming from there. And naturally, in a way, these things will happen when you associate with people who are following the shastram. Who are following the shastram. Or if you are situated in the dharma, dharma nishta it's called. Like jnana nishta, dharma nishta. Dharma nishta means fixed in dharma. That I am here in this world for realizing the self. And I have to keep myself free from all other anartham in this world. And if that dharma, if one follows the dharma properly in his mind, then in natural way, the senses also will be in a controlled state. Senses will not unnecessarily go in the wrong directions. And practically, the mind will be under control. And the body will not have its strong influence on you. Body will not demand too much from a person. Generally, we are controlled by the body, isn't it? We think that we are controlling the body, but actually, body controls us to a large extent, isn't it? So, if it is all in tune, that means the body is in tune, the mind is in tune, the intelligence is tuned, the sense is in tune. If it is like that, even if you are not sitting in the way Krishna has spoken in the 6th chapter, where Krishna says you have to sit in Padmasanam, and you have to be focused sitting on a higher level and all that. Even if you don't sit like that, even while walking or engage in some activity, still dhyanam will happen inside in a natural way. This is the important thing. Because dhyanam is our normal nature in us. Real nature is dhyanam in every one of us. Because of our artificial way of life and because we have messed up our mind with various unnecessary thoughts inside, and due to also false ego which has caused all sorts of impact on this body, and that has resulted in our unhealthy lifestyle and unhealthy body, and intelligence is fully packed with ignorance because of all these things, and the senses which are going in all kinds of directions, and because of that our prana also, which is in a very bad shape, due to all these factors, which one? The body, which is in a very bad shape due to the false ego identification with the body, which is in a very bad state. And due to our artificial way of life, what we are living, that the mind is also in a very bad shape. And intelligence also is very filled with ignorance. Ajnana puridam, buddhi, they call it. How we all think that we all have got very good intelligence, isn't it? We think like that at least. But actually you can see how bad it is. When we study Shastram, the kind of questions that come from the people, that's a very good indication of the level of intelligence that they have. That they're not able to understand anything. They're asking such questions because of the ajnanam inside. You can't blame them for that. It's the kind of education and the kind of society people are living today, and also the impact of that society on the person. That the clarity is not there. When we study the Shastram, and when the Acharyas are commenting on the Shastram, look at the way how our mind is working compared to their mind. From that itself, when you read the Bhashyam, you will know this. When you read the original text, you won't know it. But when you read the commentary, and you look at the things what the Acharyas have thought about when they were writing the commentary, how much deeply they have gone in and thought about things which you have never even dreamt. And your mind is asking questions which is not anywhere in the commentary. And you start thinking that, oh, I've asked such intelligent questions. That's why I'm asking such questions. They didn't find out what I've found out. That's what we think about. And when we hear, that's why when we hear the questions from the people, when they're asking questions, if you compare those questions with the Bhashyam or commentary of the Acharyas, you will know where you stand, your level of intelligence, how poor it is. So poor that they don't even know how to relate with the Shastra. Krishna is saying something, we are understanding something else. Krishna is saying something and we have understood something else. And this is our problem. So this is all what Krishna is saying here. Dhyanam won't happen till all these problems are resolved. Which one? The body has to come to a certain discipline. Why? First of all, there is no discipline in the body. That's the first problem. Body accustomed to all kinds of material comforts and sense gratification. And that body is actually a hindrance because it's demanding more. It's having a stronger grip on us. So, body's problem. Then, due to the artificial lifestyle, the mind is also in a very disturbed state. Mind is very disturbed with all kinds of issues. Then, intelligence is full of ignorance. Intelligence is full of ignorance. And the senses are driving in all different directions. Because mind, intelligence and body is like that, the prana inside is also always in a disturbed state all the time. Prana is also not very controlled in that way. And they are all our upadhi. Is the name. They are all our upadhi. Prana, body, mind, intelligence, senses, they are all our upadhis. And what we are trying to do in this meditation classes is, we are trying to somehow or the other keep all this under control and engage in meditation. But Krishna is saying here, if you do like that, it will be like Bhagadhyanam. Bhagadhyanam means, if you look into in the seashore, there will be certain birds there. White birds like this, they sit there. And if you look at them, they may look as though they are in meditation. They are in meditation. But actually what they are not meditating. What it is they're sitting like this. As soon as a fish is moving underneath the water, they'll know that. And the fish won't know that there is somebody waiting there to grab the fish. And suddenly this bird flies and catches the fish from the water and flies away from there. That is called Bhagadhyanam. Compared to this bird, Bhaga, he's not anything, he completely focused on that fish. So that kind of meditation won't help. It's able to keep its body without any movement and it's not moving anymore. It's fully, it will appear as though it is in a very deep meditation. But the whole thing is, the whole meditation is on the fish in the water, how to get it. So similarly, it will become like that. So dhyayati vanchakaha. So what is their important thing is that Krishna is saying here, first, before all these things, the body has to be given to karma yoga. That is where karma yoga comes. It is so difficult when this point doesn't get through to the people's mind that they're always thinking that because I've become a devotee, I have nothing to do with karma. That is no way acceptable. It is not in the Shastram. And it is no Shastram will approve that either. First thing is to bring this body under a certain level, a certain discipline. And that principle is Karma Yoga. And through Karma Yoga, bring the body under control. Through Jnana Yoga, bring the intelligence in the proper direction. And through bring the senses under control and bring the mind under control. And live in the way and engage in the gratification of the senses based on the dharma, what Krishna mentions also in the Bhagavad Gita. If you do all these things, what will happen is that strong vasanas inside will slowly start diminishing. If you follow this setup, what Krishna says here, keeping the body in Karma Yoga, the mind and the senses under control and living according to dharma. If, as Krishna mentions there, isn't it? That the how important it is that not allowing the mind and the senses to go in a haphazard manner, rather always under control and living in that way. Intelligence purified from the knowledge of the Shastra. If it is all done like that, what will happen is it will leak help you to free yourself from the vasanas inside. That is called vasana kshayam. Vasana kshayam means this vasana, what we have developed inside in living different lifetimes, it gets diminished. It gets diminished. It does not mean fulfilling your desires. That also you have to know. That vasana kshayam is not fulfilling the desires. Fulfilling the desires. If you do like that, in gradually this dhyanam will come in a person. So now you can see how important it is to live a spiritual life. You can't live a material life forever and make progress in spiritual life. That's not possible. So to develop a way of life in such a way that it becomes conducive for developing this dhyanam inside. Means body, mind, intelligence, senses, everything in a disciplined way, in working functioning together, and that setup is necessary. That setup is necessary. And in there, sense gratification is allowed according to dharma. Krishna says there in the Bhagavad Gita, remember, dharmam aviruddha bhudeshu kamosmi bharadarshava. He says to Arjuna, that kamam, there it is not sex enjoyment only he is mentioning. Any sense enjoyment which is not against dharmam is me, Krishna says. Is it not? So, dharmam aviruddha bhudeshu kamam asmi bharadarshabha, he says. So, that is how much kamam is allowed. Control life with the body, mind, intelligence, senses, everything. As far as the mind is concerned, you are that much sense gratification is allowed, which is not against the principles of religion. As Krishna says in that verse, dharma aviruddha bhudeshu kamosmi bharadarshava. If all this is done, then in a natural way, dhyanam will happen inside a person. This is the point Krishna is making here. That is why Bhagavad Gita is based on the four principles of varnam and four principles of ashramam, isn't it? So, Varnashramam is behind this. It is based on this that Varnashramam was formulated. If you look into the first canto of the Bhagavadam, when Kali entered, there is a discussion between Shaunaga Rishi and Sudha Goswami. If you see there, you will notice one interesting statement which is generally not taken notice of. It is in the first canto, when the Kali's entrance, that is in the, He mentions there that the purpose, when Krishna left this world and Kali Yuga has begun, Kali Yuga has begun. The effects of Kali on the world. And one of the things mentioned there is that with the arrival of Kali, first thing that has disappeared is Varnashrama Dharma. Says. How important that is. Why? Because Varnashrama Dharma is conducive for spiritual life. This is the reason why it is spoken like that. There is a verse about that. See somewhere. Just reading this morning that the Varnashrama Dharma's effect on the society. He says that with the appearance of Kali, he says 1632. He says, Almanam Chanisho Jami. Who says? Bhumidevi is saying this. Bhumidevi is saying this is a conversation between Dharmam and Bhumidevi, the bull and the cow. Isn't it? Cow is said Bhumidevi and bull is the Dharmam personified. So, Dharmam, the bull asks the cow, what is the, why are you so unhappy? All that question is there, about 7-8 verses. Kalena vade bilinam biliyasam surarchitam ki kadam amba saubhagam. Why this situation like this? And Bhumidevi is replying from verse 26 onwards. She is saying here that with Krishna's departure from here, Satyam, Shaujam, Daya, Chandi, Tyagam, Sandosham, Arjavam, Shamam, Damam, Tapas, Samyam, Tidiksha, Uparadishudam, Jnanam, Virakti, Aishwaryam, Shauryam, Tejas, Velam, Smriti, Swatandram, Kaushalam, Kandi, Dhairyam, Mardhavam, Evaja, Pragalbhyam, Prashrayashilam, Saham, Ojo, Velam, Bhaga, Gambhiryam, Stairyam, Astikyam, Kirti, Mano, Anahamkriti. All these qualities were present in this world when Krishna was present. Says Bhumidevi, they were all present here. Ede cha anye cha Bhagavan nite yatra mahaguna prarthya mahatvam ichchadya navi yandisma karhichil. When Krishna left, all these qualities have disappeared from this world. And then she says, tenaham gunavatrena srinivasena sampradam shoja mirahidam lokam papmana kalinekshidam. When the Bhumi was, when Kali has taken control of me, from that very moment, I am not anymore a pot of good qualities. There is no more good qualities in me. She is saying this. And then she says, Altmanam anishojami bhavandam jamarotaram devan rishin pitran sadhun sarvan varnam sadashraman. He says, all the demigods, devas, rishi, sages, pitrus, forefathers, all the sadhus, the pious people or devotees, all of them, including Varnashrama Dharmam, has disappeared, he says. So you can see, along with devas, rishis, pitris, sadhus, Varnashrama Dharmam is also taken as an important thing. Tatha Varnastad Ashraman, he says. So from this you can understand that the impact of this Varnashrama Dharmam is for this purpose. That there is a discipline in the body, discipline in the mind, discipline in the body, discipline in the mind, discipline in the intelligence. And purifying everything, purifying the body, purifying the mind, purifying the intelligence. Control of the senses and the mind. When all these things happen, in a natural way, dhyanam will develop in a person. That is the point Krishna is making in this verse. That simply dhyanam won't come. Just by buying a seat and paying some 50 pounds a month to a institute and going and sitting there and I'm going to do meditation, that won't become dhyanam. Dhyanam has to happen in this way. So that means it's a lifelong endeavor. Is it not? So what is required for that? It requires, as Krishna mentions here, first of all, the control of the body. Control of the body. Body should not become a burden for ourselves. It should be in a disciplined life. Body should remain like that. Therefore, the Varnashrama Dharmam helps for that. So that you don't get overstressed with all the problems of this world. And unnecessarily developing desires inside. And get stuck in that. The problem of desiring, fulfilling the desires in this world. So that way body is brought under control, mind and the senses brought under control by following the principles of religion Krishna has spoken. Dharmam aviruddha bodheshu Kamosmi Bharadarshabha, Krishna says to Arjuna, that shanti in the mind by following those principles which bring shanti in the mind. That's one side. Intelligence, because it is trained in the proper way through Shastram, in a purified state all the time. In proper intelligence. That means you should ask the right question. How to understand things properly. Not ask questions which has no connection with spiritual life. People ask all sorts of questions. All find funny questions people are asking. They think that it's just that if I ask a lot of questions which he cannot answer, then I should be very better than him. This is the mood. What can you do? This kind of spiritual life won't lead anywhere. That's just a wasting time. You can ask any question easily. Nobody will be able to answer all the questions if you ask from the Purana. As I mentioned like that, this one devotee I mentioned to you before, he was asking this question that how was the air traffic control for the when Salu and Krishna was fighting. Now what? Who can answer that question? Shankaracharya won't be able to answer that question. So ask him. Or Sridhar Swami won't be able to answer that question. If you ask him what was the air traffic control, what will he say? He will simply won't answer. That's the thing. That's the only thing he can do if people are asking this kind of questions. So what I'm saying is that when we know that this is our level of, from the Shastric point of view, our intelligence is very, very, very poor. It's so poor that we don't even know what question to ask. Because we are not in tune with the Shastram. We have our own way of thinking and our own mind and our own kind of understanding. Keeping all these things, we are going there to ask all the questions. And this will become very clear when you read this commentary of all these great personalities. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sanatana Goswami. When you start reading their commentary, you start wondering, they are not asking any such question what we are asking. They have other questions they are answering there. That is a very good indication to us that we don't even know how to ask the question. That is, then what do we say? Oh, we don't understand anything what they are saying. We close the book and go on with our business, isn't it? So all these classes and all these discussions will only become fruitful if we have developed that understanding of asking the right thing, and also we have to be in that wavelength to ask that question, to understand that, isn't it? So bringing intelligence to that level is what Shastram calls it as, the bringing in tune with the Shastram. When all these things, body, mind, intelligence and the senses, everything is in tune, in a natural way, inside, this dhyanam will develop. It will develop without any effort of your own. It has to happen. That is the way it is. That is what Krishna is saying in that verse, that dhyanam. So you can imagine where is that dhyanam and what we are trying to build up from this. So, so the dhyanam, that means body is concerned, the first thing is attachment to the body has to go. That's the main thing. There is nothing much you have to do with the body. If you lose the attachment to the body, you come a long way. That means body is not a burden anymore, if the attachment has gone from the body. If the body becomes a big matter of concern in everyday life, then it's not a very good situation for spiritual life. So the attachment to the body has to go, and then the mind has to act based on dharmam, as Krishna says, dharma aviruddha bodheshu kamosmi. That mind, a mind which will not deviate from the path of religious principles, that one. And then buddhi is, intelligence is pure because of the knowledge of the Shastram. Shastram has to purify the intelligence. Senses will not get influenced by the ragadvesham, attachment and aversion. And it is only interested in the topics which are related to dharma. And when one lives in that way, senses naturally will stay in its position. It won't demand any kind of gratification then. And mind will come into your hands, a tool which you can handle it within yourself. It is the same topic that Bhikshu Gita is going to discuss in very much in depth. where Vishu is saying that all self-realization, everything is completely dependent on this thing called mind. Thing called the mind. If it happens like that, body is not controlling you. It's not influencing you. Mind is not influencing you. If it is like that, even while you are walking, sitting, or doing some work, still this dhyanam can develop within. Dhyanam can develop within. So this dhyanam, which comes in this way, this dhyanam will naturally happen in a person as soon as he wakes up in the morning. If he has become tuned to it. So, when the chances are that as soon as he is put into a situation in the nature, when material nature is very quiet, he will turn into this dhyanam. Dhyanam will naturally develop within that person. So, in other words, even if some activity has to happen through the body, once that activity is finished, dhyanam will come back to that person. What it means is, this is not a created meditation. It's not a created meditation. Your subtle mind is in touch with the self inside. In a natural way, the subtle mind is going towards the self. In a natural way, it will start flowing in that direction. And that is that dhyanam Krishna is talking about here. So, in the Upanishads, how they put it is, when the mind starts kissing the self, that is the dhyanam. The mind goes and starts kissing the self, the soul, inside, that is dhyanam. Up to that point, mind is busy with all other rubbish in this world. When the mind gets released from all other influences and it completely goes towards the self, attracted by the self and its beauty, and then it is dhyanam. So, which means that it is a natural thing that has to happen. You can't do it on your own. It has to happen within. And therefore, one has to follow the principles of religion. Remember, Sri Narada Maharshi talks about Sadachara Varnana, 5 chapters in the 7th canto. To Yudhishthira Maharaj, Sri Narada Maharshi gives instructions, 5 chapters about Varnashrama Dharmam. How do you find that? You will find that when Prahlada's bhakti was discussed in the Bhagavadam, you remember? For in the 7th canto, the main discussion is Prahlada's story, isn't it? So, when Prahlada's story was discussed in the Srimad Bhagavadam, Yudhishthira Maharaj was very much attracted by Prahlada's bhakti. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj wanted to know from Narada Maharshi, how did Prahlada reach this state? How did he come to this state? So, Sri Narada Maharshi, in answer to that question from Prahlada, mentions that, because Yudhishthira was a king, Yudhishthira wanted to know how the common society, because he was a king, he was concerned about everybody, the general class of people, how can they become like Prahlada? This was in Yudhishthira's mind when he asked that question. Because being a king and emperor, he wanted to know how the whole society will become devotees. That's what he wanted to know. Yudhishthira was such a noble person, wasn't he? So he asked this question to Yudhishthira, to Sri Narada Maharshi. And in reply to that, Narada Maharshi spoke those 5 chapters. And the chapter is titled Sadachara Varnana. Sadachara Varnana means the good way to live in this world. The right way to live in this world. That is Sadachara. The right way, way to live in this world. How one should live in this world. And there, he compares Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, their dharma, what they should do. Brahmajari, Grahastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam, their work, how they should live. Both are discussed there. There are 5 chapters. If you read through the 5 chapters, you will see what he is saying there. The only reason why he said that was, only if that exists in the society, it is possible to develop bhakti like the way Prahlada had. Because this was Yudhishthira's question. Without connecting these two, there was no other reason for Sri Narada Maharshi to talk about the Varnashrama Dharmam in the 7th canto. This is Sridharacharya's commentary on that. our mind won't go like that. We will think that's a separate subject, this is another subject. We'll think like that. Whereas Sridhara Swami's mind is working. You see, Sridhara Swami is saying this. The reason why these five chapters of Arnashrama Dharma in the seventh canto, the reason for discussing that was, when Yudhishthira heard about Prahlada, he wanted to know how the general society can be become like that, like Prahlada's nature. Because a good king, that's what he should be thinking about, isn't it? How to make everybody a proper devotee. That is his responsibility. Is it not? Not to cut the tax 1p. That anybody can cut it. We don't need such big discussion about that. Is it not? Whole thing is such a nonsense, isn't it? You think about it. This cutting 1p is the whole discussion. We're going for years and years together. How to cut the 1p tax. Is there nothing more important than this in life? So this is unfortunate situation. Whereas Yudhishthira's situation, you can see, Yudhishthira is hearing about Prahlada from Sri Narada Maharshi, and Yudhishthira is thinking, how can everybody become like Prahlada? How will that bhakti develop in a person like Prahlada has developed? That is intelligence. That is intelligence. Just see Yudhishthira's intelligence. And when this question came up in Yudhishthira's mind, Sri Narada Maharshi spoke this for Arnashrama Dharmam to him. Just see. So that is why that five chapters have come in the seventh canto. Otherwise, there is no justification for bringing Arnashrama Dharmam there in that canto. Right up to the seventh canto, everything that's spoken there is about great, great personalities, and then suddenly the Arnashrama Dharmam. Similarly, in the 11th canto, Krishna again discusses Arnashrama Dharmam, which is not much different from the. But the 7th canto, Sri Narada Maharshi's Arnashrama Dharmam is more elaborate compared to what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava. Because for Uddhava, Arnashrama Dharmam is not important anymore. For Uddhava, what is important? He is leaving the world. Whereas Yudhishthira's case, of course, the question was related to the subjects and the people of the planet. Yudhishthira was given much more a detailed answer. That difference you will see there. So, now, because it is like this, that Sadacharam, that means that Sadacharam Varna, what is spoken in the seventh canto, one has to endeavor in that direction, first thing. Whatever Krishna, there are a lot of things spoken there. Everything may not be possible to follow today, but there are many things which are still important for us to take notice of. And then executing the sadhana in spiritual life. To keep that mind in the disciplined way. That sadhana's necessity is that. Sadhana is necessary to keep everything in a disciplined way. A disciplined way of life so that mind won't go into the wrong side. Means television and other things. It won't go in that direction. To avoid that. And acquiring the knowledge of the self from the Shastra, which is also important because that is what satsangam and other association always discussing about the self. Importance of the self, importance of self-realization and realization of the great personalities. What they have realized and their explanations on that. All this is necessary to keep the intelligence pure. To keep the intelligence pure. And these, and added to all this, pure food, what one consumes, proper lifestyle, ahara viharam, all this is. If this done, all these things is done properly, if all these things becomes into its balance, then Krishna is saying that verse, which one, dhyanen altmani pashyandi, kechit altmanam altmana, it will happen. So, please do not misunderstand that words with the meditation process in the advertised by the institutes, yoga institutes. It has nothing to do with that. This dhyanen altmani pashyandi kechid altmanam altmana will only happen if all these things happens and in a natural way that dhyanam will come inside without any effort of your own. It has to come like that. That is one thing Krishna has spoken there. Now, after saying that, Krishna says, Anye Sanghena Yogena, the next option. If this all this is not happened, for some people, this Sanghya Yogam will work, Krishna is saying. But this Sankhya Yuga is more difficult in the sense that one, after going through generally, this separation happens at the end. That means, after following this lifestyle, what we have spoken for dhyanam, at a particular point, you will go in the Sankhya and one will go into the dhyanam. But that lifestyle, what is mentioned there, is still necessary. That means body, mind, intelligence, everything in tune. And when that develops, it will come to dhyanam, and somebody will go in the dhyanam process, somebody will go in the Sankhya process. Sankhyam process. Now, if both of these two are not possible, what is the next option? Obviously, when we hear all this, it's very clear that this is not going to happen in our lifetime. So, therefore, Krishna is saying, karma yogena chavare. The next option is karma yoga. Karma yogena chavare. The reason is that if you find that this world is important, it is real. Suppose you are convinced that this world is real, because that you can't take it out from some people. That is in their upadhi. It is already there in their upadhi. Upadhi means in their mind, senses and body. For them, this world is important. They can't ignore this world. You will see some people like that. They are cut off from the world if they stay at home. They feel they are cut off from the world. And they need this world, constantly interaction with the world, they need it. Because in their upadhi, they are feeling like that. They are unable to disconnect. Whatever you may do to them, or let them try any way they like it, their attention will go to the world all the time. They cannot withdraw from the world. And they will look at the world, and they'll see a lot of people suffering in this world in various ways. Still, they will want to be the part of the world. There are people like that. There are many people like that. To different degrees, I'm saying. That some people, they're suffering a lot in their life. Yeah. And when they go into the world and look, they find a lot of people suffering in the world also. Still, they want to be part of that world. They are not able to come out of that world. All these things what Krishna has spoken in the last two, Jnanina Alpani Pashyanti, Kejid Alpana Malpana, Anye Sankhena Yogena. These are for people who have little bit for inward looking. But those who cannot go inward, they are busy, they are always external. Attention is in the world outside. And they cannot break away from the world. World is important for them. It so happened like that. They cannot come out of that, and world is important, and they will go to the world, and no matter what happens here in the world, they'll still be there. Even if the war goes on, they'll go there with the ambulance to save the people there. Whatever that happens, they think that the world is real. They're convinced on that. You can't do anything about it. It's just the way they are. For them, Krishna is saying, and they're seeing the miseries of this world all the time, but they still think that this world, we have to sort this out. This world, for them, there's only one thing left, Krishna is saying. That is that karma yogena chavare. Karma yogena chavare means that they should act in this world without attachment. Because they cannot remain without acting. They have to act. So act without attachment, and without expecting results, they have to work in this world. And in that way, remove the world from within. It's not so easy. All these things are difficult. No spiritual process is easy. You can say that, I've got this process, I've got that process, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll escape from here. Material nature is not going to let you go so easily from here. Prakriti has got a strong grip on us. Whichever process you follow, whether Jnana Margam, Yoga Margam, Karma Margam, Bhakti Margam, whichever Margam you take into, ultimately, she has to let you out from here. And she won't let you go till that inside subtle body has been completely wiped out from inside. സോ കർമ്മമാർഗം കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് സെയിങ് കർമ്മയോഗേന ചാപരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് സെയിങ് ഫോർ ദം ദാറ്റ് ഓപ്ഷൻ ഈസ് ദർ വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ഓപ്ഷൻ കർമ്മയോഗേന ചാപരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് സെയിങ് ദർ ദാറ്റ് കർമ്മയോഗേന കർമ്മയോഗേന മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് സംഹോ ദി അതർ കർമ്മം യു കാൻഡ് അവോയ്ഡ് യു ആർ സ്റ്റക്ക് വിത്ത് ദ കർമ്മം but use that karma in such a way in as much as possible connected with krishna somehow whatever that can be connected with krishna in such a way that yogam and that will purify the heart and that will allow this jnanam to come in that's what it does karma yogam itself won't do it what karmam does is if one practices that karma yogam long period of time through that karmam will purify that vasanas will get diminished inside and it will give an opportunity for the jnanam to come in for the knowledge to come in because previously if you speak to this person anything related to jnana margam it won't go inside because of his addiction to karma so because he is so addicted to karmam and to the world the only option he has got is that to do the work in such a way that it purifies him. That is karma yoga, isn't it? So once that is done, that karmam will open up for the jnanam to come in. This is that what happens at that time. So in that way, because karma yoga is like that, their world, again, the world is what you see according to your vasana, isn't it? World, every one of us perceive this world in a different way. According to our vasana, we perceive this world. So, if you, in this world, if you work without any selfish motive, and in due course of time, that vasana, what they have inside, will go away if you act without attachment for the results. And in a nishkamam or nisangada. Nisangada means without causing any kartrutva, bhoktrutvam and ragadvesham. If you operate in this world, and what will lead that into, it will slowly remove the, minimize the vasanas inside, and it will pave the way for sankhyam or dhyanam to come in. Dhyanam to come in. That is why Krishna says, karma yogena Chapare. So, Krishna has practically covered all the yoga system in one verse. Is it not? All the yoga system in one verse. Dhyanam, Jnanam, Karma. Dhyanam, Jnanam, Karma, all the three things. The yoga system, Krishna has spoken there. So, after saying all these things, Krishna understood that this is not also not going to happen here. Because the customers he has got is like us. What to do with us? So, what can be done? I mean, when you read those verses and what Krishna is expecting from us and what we are, if you look at both, then you know where we stand, isn't it? We are such people that we want everything like this done. And we therefore, Krishna knows the difficulty. And because of that, Krishna gives one more option as the last option. Let's look at that. That is verse number 26, isn't it? The last option. If this doesn't work, hopeless. Nothing much you can do about it then. This is the last option.
ശുത്വാനേഭ്യ ഉപാസതേ തേ അപി ചാതി തരന്ത്യേവ മൃത്യും ശ്രുതിപരായണ
Translation. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about Him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Out of all this, in today's situation, this is the best option. There is no doubt. Everything depends on the time also when we are living in this world. Say you are living in a society where Varnashram Dharma was practiced seriously, where Shastrams were studied well, and everything was taken serious, and the life was tuned in a way for development of spiritual life, then all the other processes will be more ideal. It can happen. But knowing very well, Krishna has saying here that the anityam ajananta shutva ebhyam upasade tebi jati taranteva mrityum shuti parayana. Let's understand what this verse is saying. Krishna is saying here that some people, not knowing anything from the Shastram, they don't know anything, what's written in the Shastram. But they heard from others about the truth, about the Vastu. And they have started doing some sadhana, they start engaging. And they are honest and innocent people, in the sense that they want to know about the Vastu, and they really genuinely working in that direction. Krishna is saying they will also escape and they will get liberated and become realized as self. Mrityam tarandeva shruti parayanaha. Because Krishna says here two words, shruti parayana. What does shruti parayana mean? Shruti parayana means, here shruti parayana refers to one who hears well, one who has developed a good capacity to hear. That means they have become serious about spiritual life and they want to hear and hear and hear all the time about the truth. About the truth. Hearing has got so much power, Krishna is recognizing that, and that is the process which is possible today compared to all the other processes. So, Shuddhi Parayana, reference to Shuddhi in this, not based on the Vedam it is saying, it is based on your hearing power, Shuddhi Parayana. Shuddhi means to hear also. To Shravanam. Shravana Bhairagadas, it is called. So, as a small topic, Krishna has introduced that here. And with this topic, or Shuddhi Parayana, Krishna closes this chapter more or less. And Krishna is saying here that by Anyecham, Anyetyam Ajananda, Shrutva Anyebhya Upasade, Te Abhijadi Tarandeva Mrityam Shruti Parayana. So, one who couldn't get it through any other process, which one? Dhyanam, Sanghyam, or Karmam? None of those processes is working for somebody. He has no possibility of that. Such a person, if he gets to know and able to hear from someone and engage in sadhana in that way, if he takes that, in that process. That's what he's saying here. Te abhi chadi tarandyeva mrityum shruti parayana. That shruti parayana, in other words, he says here, shrutva idam eva chintayeda idi uktva upasade. That is what it is. That anyedu eshu vigalpeshu anyadareena abhi evam yathoktam almanam ajananda. He doesn't know anything about the soul. Someone who does not know anything about the soul. But he has one good qualification, that he is willing to hear. He is willing to hear. That's a big qualification. That simply by hearing, it has to happen, Krishna is saying. Because Almanam Ajananda Anyebhya Acharyebhya Shrutva Idam Eva Chintayeda Idi Ukta Upasade. After hearing about that and executing the sadhana on that basis, Upasade Shraddhadana Sanda Chintayandihi. and they have taken the conclusions of the Shastram as they have heard very seriously. And then they engaged in sadhana in that way and they became released. They got released as well. Even tebi cha aditarandi eva adikramandi eva mrutyum mrutyuktam samsaram iti edat. Shruti parayana, shruti shravanam param ayanam gamanam mokshamarga pravurtau param sadhanam yesham. Te shruti parayana kevala paryopadesha pramana swayam viveka rahita iti abhiprayaha. So, even they, Krishna is saying, they will cross over this material existence because if they hear from the Acharya, Acharya Vachanam, that means Acharya's words, Acharya means great personalities, if their words, if one takes that seriously and hearing that, even can lead them into that direction of the liberation process, he says here. And he also mentions there, so sarvatra ishvara darshanam, that means earlier Krishna mentioned that samadarshitvam, isn't it, equal vision, ishvara darshanam, and saying this, this kshetra kshetrajna vibhaga yogam, Krishna is presented in a particular way that leads into which Acharya mentioned before as that samasta vedartha sara sangraha bhutam. That means the all the Vedas, their essence, if you condense that and break it up, that essence is this knowledge what Krishna has given here. So here one question is coming that till now, up to this point, Krishna has spoken about the soul, is it not? Kshetram and Kshetrajna, two things he has spoken. And three processes he spoken mainly. Mainly he spoken three processes, which is Dhyanam, Jnanam and Karma. Dhyana Yogam, Jnana Yogam. In the last words, that's what he did, isn't it? Three yoga processes he spoken. How to achieve that through Dhyanam, how to achieve it through Jnanam and how to achieve that through Karma. And after that, except these three processes, is there another process? And that is what Krishna has spoken in this 26th verse, which is Anyatvam Ajananda. You can see the way that verse is structured also. They are not, that's not the important process. The important process is still the other three. Dhyanam, Jnanam and Karma. And again in the Bhagavatam it is like that. Karmam, Jnanam, Bhakti. It is like that. Bhakti is more referred to here as Dhyanam. It is not the kind of bhakti what we are used to. That also you have to remember. This bhakti what Krishna is talking about is a different kind altogether. So, dhyanam, bhakti, jnanam, karmam in the Bhagavatam, same thing Krishna has put it in this way here. Dhyanam, jnanam, karmam. But they are the main three processes. Always. That's permanently there. But Krishna says that even though these three processes are the general the three main processes, there is alternative to it, and he puts it in a very casual way. He says this, Anyatvam Ajanandaha, one who does not know these three processes, who does not know and who is not able to do that, for them there is one more option, he is saying, and that is Shutva Anyabhi Upasate, that they had this good quality in them that they were able to hear, hearing they were willing to hear. And they abhijati tarandiva mrityam shruti parayana. They were able, they have crossed over this cycle of birth and death because they heard shruti parayana. They were shruti parayana. That was their qualification. They were good in hearing. Through hearing they escaped, Krishna is saying. Through hearing they have escaped. So that's what that verse, what he was talking about. And then Krishna says, Kimu vaktavyam pramanam prati sudandram vivegino mrityam ati tarandi iti abhiprayaha. That one who has come through this Shruti Parayana. Shruti Parayana means for those who are able to hear. Krishna has put that in the Bhagavatam also in the form of Satsangam. Satsangam is that, what he is talking about. That there also, this option Krishna says, and he meant all those who are listed in that Satsangam chapter, you can see, they did not belong to this category. None of these three. Which one? Jnanam, Dhyanam or Karmam. like Dharmavyadhan, like Vrishabharvav, Mahabali, and Vrutrasura, and so many others listed there. Now, which none of these three yoga systems they followed, did they? They followed simply that process of satsangam, and through that they escaped. And it is keeping that in the perspective, this verse has come. That through process of hearing also, it is possible to escape. But it is only not the three main ones. It is an alternative one he has spoken. Kshetrajneshura aigatya vishayam jnanam moksha sadhanam yal jnatva amrita mashnuti. If you look into the 12th verse in the same chapter, Krishna says, yal jnatva amrita mashnuti. He says here. Remember?
Yes.
It is, I think it is the 12th verse, isn't it? 13th. It is the 13th verse, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, 13th verse, I think. No, not 13th. Yal jnatva amrita mashnuti, he says.
Yeah,
name yat pravakshyami. 12th verse, isn't it? Or 13th verse. Yeah. Yayam yat pravakshyami yal jnatva amrita mashnuti. So, this is that what Krishna has so far spoken about. That after knowing this, what will happen is yal jnatva amrita mashnuti. He become immortal. So, that yal jnatva amrita mashnuti iti uktam. This kshetrajna. Kshetrajneshura aigatya vishayam jnanam moksha sadhanam yal jnatva amrita mashnuti. That means this kshetrajna jnanam will lead into immortality. Is that is what that he mentions there as the yal jnatva amrita mashnuti. By knowing this, immortality comes. Amrita mashnuti. Yal jnatva amrita mashnuti. So yal jnatva amrita mashnuti is required, is will happen when kshetra kshetrajnayor jnanam happens to a person. And after that kshetra kshetrajnayor jnanam, he mentioned that it will lead into liberation, moksha sadhanam. And why Krishna has spoken that, that is what is being spoken from now on. Why that is born. All these verses are so connected to each other. Let's look at it this way. That Krishna said that for some people, this Sankhya Buddhi is not there. So for them, Sankhya Yogam is difficult. Sankhyam requires a very special kind of intelligence for the Sankhya Yogam. A special intelligence is required for that. So that is why Dhyana Yogam, Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, three processes. And finally, Krishna mentions this last option, Shruti Parayana, which is called Shravana Yogam. In other words, yoga through hearing. Shravana Yogam. So, for them, evam ajanandaha. Krishna says ajananda. Ajananda means that on their own, they don't have that capacity for Sankhyam. Capacity for Sankhyam. And neither they have dhyanam inside. Neither they have dhyanam inside. And karmam also is difficult for them because they found that difficult to bring it into life. Karma Yogam also. But Krishna is saying, even though all these three processes, ajanantaha, even if they don't know that, suppose they take shelter of a liberated soul. That's where the difficulty comes. Suppose they take shelter of a liberated soul or someone who is self-realized. In such a case, what will happen? They will live completely according to the instruction of that liberated personality. Complete tune their life to please to that person's instruction. That is where this problem in this verse comes. And eventually they will realize the truth. They will realize the truth. So here, it lot of things depends in this verse, depends on your faith. Depends on your faith. Here, even if your knowledge or your meditation, even if it hasn't helped, doesn't matter. But through the process of hearing, you are getting the truth. Through the process of hearing, you are getting the truth. That is why he says here, Shrutva Anyebhya Upasati. That second line he says here,
Sutva Anyebhya Upasade. Anyebhya means only through the process of hearing. Shravanam is the main thing. So, in the Shravanam process, Shrotava means one who is hearing, he is more important. Vaktava, the speaker, also is important. But more than the importance of the speaker, the maturity of the hearing person, listener, is important. More than the importance of the speaker, the maturity of the person who is hearing is important. That is why we mentioned before, there are three kinds of listeners, is it not? Uttama Shrodhava, Madhyama Shrodhava, and Adhama Shrodhava, or Manda Shrodhava, they call it. The best listener, the middle one, and the lower one, isn't it? So, the Vaktava, or the speaker, he may be Uttama, or he may be Madhyama. He may be a first class or he's a second class. And among the speakers also, there are people who have got Abharoksha Anubhuti. Abharoksha Anubhuti means that they have analyzed things well and they have taken enough effort to study and to get some understanding from that, some realizations from that. So that is called Abharoksha Anubhuti. Abharoksha Anubhuti means that they have experienced something in their life through Shastram and through following the authorities. They have also experienced something. And there are people who have no Abharoksha Anubhuti among the speakers. So, in this process, what Krishna is saying here, what we call it as the Shruti Parayana, Krishna is saying here, that the person who is hearing, if he is a person who is listening from a liberated soul, Jivan Mukta state, if he is hearing from a person who is liberated state, or if that person is a realized soul, one is called Jivan Mukta, other one is called Jnani. They are all one and the same, but you address them in different ways, the way they have reached that state. That's why it is called in different ways. Jnani is slightly different from Jivan Mukta in the states. That Jnani will be different in the Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta is a state, one who has reached that state, he may not be very absorbed in the studying Shastram anymore. He has come to a state, very high state of liberation, already experiencing very much in this world. That is Jivan Mukta state. Jnani state is that he has realized the truth, and he has experience of this world in such a way that he is seeing Krishna's presence in everything. That experience is happening to the Jnani very much. So there will be little bit of differences between, but more or less it's the same thing. Jnani and Jivan Mukta, they are the same. If instead of saying Jnani or Jivan Mukta, you can also address him in another way, Abharoksha Anubhuti. Abharoksha Anubhuti means it is not anymore experience in the mind and the brain, direct experience inside is happening to him. That's called Abharoksha Anubhuti. So, Abharoksha Anubhuti, if he has got that, so if you have contact with someone like that, and that listener who is listening from this person who is beneath this category, if that listener has no material desires inside, and that person has no goal in his life to achieve something here in this world. I mean, he is completely free from all kinds of material desires here. Then, then by hearing from that person, liberated soul, or from the Jivan Mukta, or from the Jnani, what will happen is that automatically this will happen to him. So there also there is conditions. It's not so straightforward as we think about it. But you can see the difficulty here. So no spiritual life is easy. It is wrong to think that to make it too simple. If it was that simple, then Bhagavad Gita was not necessary, was it? Why do we need Bhagavad Gita then? Then people say that, just like sometimes devotees also say that, that there is a thing called mercy. That is not something you can guaranteed one, isn't it? You can't say it as that it may come, may not come. But processes that Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita are these. These three processes, alternatively, Krishna says, if you get to have that. But even you can see, even if you meet a Jivan Mukta, even if you meet a Abharoksha Siddha with Abharoksha Anubhuti, or even if you meet a Jnani, if all these qualities are not there in that person who is listening in you, in other words, if it is not there, that means he should not have any material motivation. He should not have material motivation or any desire to achieve anything in this world. He has to be so pure inside. In that state, if a contact develops with a realized soul, it is possible that through hearing alone, it will get through. That person will get through. So, sometimes, this person who is hearing that for him, even if he has little bit of desires out there inside, material desires inside, if that Jnani or the realized soul or Jivan Mukta, if he is a first class person, then he will remove that sankalpa from inside and instruct him. That's what happens. Many have examples are there in the history like that. Suppose if there is someone who has got a little bit of desires inside, but who is the best example? Rahugana and Jadabharata in the Bhagavad. When Rahugana met Jadabharata, Rahugana was not very pure. You saw that when you study there, you will see that. Jadabharata was very powerful, very pure, isn't it? And Rahugana had studied Shastram. One thing you have to appreciate Rahugana, what is that? He studied Shastram. And he followed Varnashrama Dharma strictly. He was a king, properly, as a Kshatriya he behaved properly. And he looked after his kingdom well. He ruled the kingdom very well. So he followed Varnashrama Dharma, and the fact that he has studied Shastram shows that he must have had good thoughts in his mind. Otherwise, your attention won't go into Shastram, isn't it? It's natural. We can understand that. Your attention won't go to Shastram unless you have some purity inside. So he had that in him, good mind and a good intelligence, so that he has studied Shastram well. What was missing in Rahugana? And he had some good discipline in his body as well. You can see that when Rahugana, because of that only, that when he realized his mistake, immediately he apologized and fell down at Jadabharata's feet. Did he not? See that quality in the Rahugana. That as soon as he realized that he is at fault, he didn't argue. What did he do? Straight away he fell at his feet and told him, please instruct me. And this pleased Jadabharata. Seeing that, Jadabharata understood that this person has got little problem, but it can be corrected. He is someone who can be rectified. Whereas if any one of us were there, what we would have done? Imagine. We would have argued with Jadabharata, isn't it? We would not have a king, for a king to pay obeisances like that to an ordinary person in the street like Jadabharata shows that there is something in him which we don't have in us. Is it not? So that is that special quality in Rahugana. That is what caused that change happen. And therefore Jadabharata decided through some instruction it will help. And he instructed Rahugana. If you read that instruction, you will see how he removed that ignorance from him and made him to realize the truth. And that is the best example in the Bhagavad. Jadabharata and Rahugana. A king who lives an opulent life, who had all the facilities in this world, in spite of that, meets a person like Jadabharata on the street and realizes the truth. See that greatness behind that person, Rahugana. He's not an ordinary person, is he? How many politicians will take that in this world today? Imagine that yourself. Which politician in this world will become like that king, that humility inside and that knowledge inside, to realize the self. So that's something worthwhile thinking about, that Rahuganas, that state of mind. Then as soon as he saw Jarabharata's state, that when Jarabharata spoke only one or two verses, immediately Rahugana sensed, this is not an ordinary person I am talking to. First he wanted to punish him. From the palanquin he looked down, and all the three other people who were carrying the palanquin, they were complaining about this fourth person, Jarabharata. We have got a new one. He is not walking along with us properly. That's why the palanquin is becoming very wobbly. That's what is complained to us, isn't it? So he opened the palanquin cover and looked down and saw this man for the first. So he started chastising him. Rahugana spoke, do you know who I am? And all these kind of things. You know, showing his authority as a king, he spoke. And one or two verses Jarabharata spoke in reply to that. When he heard that, this Rahugana, what did he do? He told them, stop the palanquin, he said. He jumped out of the palanquin on the ground and fell at his feet. How will you expect this to happen in an ordinary person's life? Unless that Rahugana was so astute and clever. Clever means so pure inside that he was able to see in Jarabharata that quality. That this here is a realized soul. Because he had to hear only one or two verses from him. It is not the verses that has, it is the quality of Rahugana that has helped there to become that state to happen. When you think through Bhagavatam, all these things, it's very interesting how things happen in life for different devotees. So Rahugana says to him, we have to go through that verses again. And our Jarabharata blasted him straight away. Telling him that you are such a nonsense, he said to him. And Rahugana falls at his feet and says to him, instruct me in the right way, he says to him. That humility in the king. Kings are normally not very humble, are they? They are used to controlling others. They do need to be humble. In spite of that, he was so humble that Rahugana paid his obeisances. Now, I mentioned this before also. Who is this Rahugana? When Jarabharata was performing his tapasya in the river, Bharata Maharshi, King Bharata came to the river, Gandaki River. And in the middle of the Gandaki River, he sat there. And he was performing his Sandhyavandanam there, Upasana there, Sandhya Upasana. At that time, a pregnant deer came that way. And the deer heard the sound of a roaring lion and jumped across the river, one side to the other. Because being fully pregnant and because of the fear in the process, that baby deer, she delivered the baby in the water. She jumped onto the other side and she rolled over and then died. The mother died. The baby came through the water. And the baby came through the water in such a way it flew along the side of Bharata Maharshi, who was performing his Sandhya Upasana. When he saw the deer, newly born, he felt compassion for that baby deer. Took the baby deer and brought him to the ashram and started looking after. And the result was that he got attached to that baby deer. And that baby deer caused a problem for him in his life. Therefore, he has to get the body of another deer in the next life. Who? Jarabharata. Has to become a deer. But because Krishna Archana Prabhavo no Jahadi, because he served Krishna seriously in his life, that hasn't left him, the memory of previous life, followed him, and in the deer's body he remembered what he was in the previous life as King Bharata. And then from the deer body, he left that body and became caught in the next body of a Brahmana in the Angiras Gotra. While all this was happened, that baby deer, which Jarabharata had looked after, there was a connection between that baby deer, and baby deer had to get released. He came as Rahugana later. That is how the laws of karma works in this world. We are thinking that we have no connection to each other. All of us have connection in this world to each other. There is some account to be settled. That is why you come to contact with people. When that account is finished, you go. till then the contact will stay. In one life or the other life, it will come back. And that is what is indicating to us. Because Rahugana had an opportunity to associate with Bharata, Bharata Maharshi, isn't it? As a deer, he associated first. But that association turned, developed into Sarsangam. In other words, that even small association, because the, why it is correct is, if this was not true, there is no reason also for Bharata Maharshi to become a deer. That is also there, another side to it. Why Bharata did not feel attraction to so many other things in this world? Why only particularly to that deer? This is also mentioned there. That this is all in the Bhagavatam. People who are very absorbed in the Bhagavatam, if their conclusions about it, that Akhandana Saraswati mentions this, that the reason why the Rahugana has to, was a deer, baby deer, who had to come as a king later in this life, and he had to get released through Jadabharata only, because already that link was there between them. Between them. So, here, coming back to that. So, if the guru is first class, then, that's where we're going back to that state. If the guru is first class, then even if the disciple has a little bit of material desire, what he will do is, he will remove that material desire and instruct him properly and bring him to the proper realized state. That is the, in two examples in the Bhagavatam, first class guru and first class disciple. That is no difficulty to find, Shuka Brahmarshi and Parikshit, the best example. Both of them, Parikshit had no material desire, but Parikshit had no time for any sadhana, is it? What time has he got for sadhana? No time. 7 days was what was given to him. But his greatest quality was that he had no material desire. He had no material desire. So, all he knew that he has no time for any kind of sadhana. Seventh day, he has to leave the body. Seventh day, he has to leave the body. So, if you tell him that you perform dhyanam or you perform yogam, all these things, Shuka Brahmarshi says all these things in the Bhagavatam. Have you noticed in the beginning of the second canto, when he starts discussing first Bhagavatam, Shuka Brahmarshi begins with dhyanam and yogam, isn't it? So, that is not for Parikshit. That is for those who are studying Srimad Bhagavatam. It's for them. He knew very well that Parikshit is the best listener. All he required was the 12th canto and the 5th chapter, what was direct instructions to him. So, because Shuka Brahmarshi knows very well that he has no time for dhyanam and he has no time for yogam either. And so that was one example. Uddhava, if you take in the Bhagavatam, Uddhava says directly to Krishna something. Have you noticed something what he says here? Uddhava says to Krishna, I cannot do any of this yoga system. Uddhava was very blunt about that. All his life he served Krishna. And he says to Uddhava says to Krishna like this. He says, if you look into the 12th canto, not 12th canto, 11th canto, Prayesha Pundarikaksha, he says. We look at the 29th chapter in the 11th canto. It's almost the end of 11th canto. And more or less a similar situation like this. Uddhava is saying to Krishna, Prayesha, second verse. Look at the first verse itself. Uddhava vacha. Uddhava says, Sudushcharam imam manye, yoga jariyam analpana. As Anjasa Puman Siddhyal Tanme Bruhi Anjasa Achyuga. He says, all these things, after hearing all of Ekadasha Skandam, Uddhava is saying to Krishna, it's all very difficult for me, he says. Uddhava is saying. Sudhuscharam imam mani, yoga jariyam analpana. It's not for me, he's saying. Is there any other easy process, shortcut, he's asking. Like us, looking always, Uddhava also is not different. Uddhava is saying, this is the person who is saying, after 112 years, spend the time with Krishna. And serving Krishna for 112 years, he is saying that, yad anjasa puman siddhyal tanme bruhi anjasa achyuta. Is there anything, something different than all these things? Is any other alternative you can offer than any? Because all these things what you have spoken up to this, it's very, very difficult, he says. Prayasha pundarikasha yunjandu yogino mana. Vishidandi asamadhanam asamadhanam mano nigraha karshida. You have spoken so much, Uddhava says, but Vishidandi asamadhanam mano nigraha karshida. Controlling the mind is not easy, says Uddhava. Asamadhanam, to bring samadhanam. Samadhanam means to bring that stability inside the mind by through control of the mind, regulating the mind, or through the thought process to bring it under control is very, very difficult, he says. And he says, Prayasha pundarikaksha yunjando yogino mana. I have seen so many yogis, he says. They have tried this and they failed. Didn't work for them. And therefore, I am only doing one thing, he says. I am just falling at your feet. Do something for me. This is the option left. Uddhava says this to Krishna. Therefore, I have no other choice. Because I have seen this happening. Great, great yogis trying and eventually failing. And me, at this stage in life, what hope do I have? He's saying, Uddhava is saying this to Krishna. Uddhava is saying this to Krishna. So I've seen many yogis and they've all tried to control their mind. But eventually, they were all swallowed by the mind. They were all swallowed by the mind. And they all have lost it at the end. Therefore, don't tell me about any yoga sadhana. It is not going to work. And plus, he says, I want to realize the truth now, not later. I want it now, he says. And he told him like this, because he says, I don't know when I'll leave my body. He's quite old, he's close to Krishna's age, isn't it? 125 years. So Uddhava was already conscious that the body will go any time. And so he says to Krishna, tell me now, right now. And I don't want to listen to all these big yoga systems, it's not going to work for me. So that mood of Uddhava is a first class listener, Uttama Shodhava. That means he is ready to receive the message properly. That he has very open and straight with Krishna, that he is able to say this to him. Of course, in the Bhagavatam it so happened that Krishna happened to be Uddhava's teacher. Therefore, it makes a lot easier for Uddhava. But what has happened between Krishna and Uddhava has happened with many others also. You should remember that. It has happened to many realized souls throughout the history who have instructed in the same way like Krishna has done to certain people, and they got released from their cycle of birth and death once for all. There are examples of that throughout the history. So here Krishna says to him that, he says to him that, that is why, handade kathayishyami. When Uddhava mentioned all these things to Krishna, that about these situations, you will notice one thing, the way Krishna answered that question. How Krishna answered that question. If you look at that, you will see the beginning of Krishna's answer to that. He says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacham, 29, chapter, verse 8. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham, handade kathayishyami, mama dharman sumangalan, yan shraddhaya acharan martyo, mrtim jaydi durjayam, kuryal sarvani karmani, madartham shanagay smaran, mayarpidamanas chito, madharma alpamanuradi, ദേശാൻ പുണ്യാനാശ്രയേത മൽഭക്തൈ സാധുഭിശ്രിതാൻ ദേവാസുരമനുഷ്യേഷു മൽഭക്ത ചരിതാനി ച പൃഥക് സത്രേണ വാ മഹ്യം പർവയാത്രാ മഹോത്സവാൻ കാരയേത് ഗീതനൃത്യാദ്യർ മഹാരാജ വിഭൂതിവി മാമേവ സർവഭൂതേഷു ബഹിരന്തരപാവൃതം ഈക്ഷേദാത്മനി ചാത്മാനം യഥാഖം അമലാശയാം ഇതി സർവാണി ഭൂതാനി മദ്ഭാവേന മഹാദ്യുതേ സഭാജയന്മന്യമാനോ ജ്ഞാനം കേവലമാശ്രിതാഃ ബ്രാഹ്മണേ പുൽക്കസേ സ്തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മണ്യർക്കേ സ്ഫുലിംഗകേ അക്രൂരേ ക്രൂരകേ ചൈവ സമദൃക് പണ്ഡിതോ മത നരേഷ ഭീഷണം മദ്ഭാവം പുംസോ ഭാവയതോ ചിരാൽ സ്പർദ്ധ അസൂയ തിരസ്കാരം സാഹങ്കാര വിയന്തിഹി വിസർജസ്മയമാന അൻഷാൻ വൃഷം വ്രീഡാം ച ദേഹികീം പ്രണമേ ദണ്ഡവത് ഭൂമം അശ്വചാണ്ടാള ഘോകരം. That is the answer to that. So, when Krishna answered that, he says to him that Pundarikaksha, he mentions to him there, Bhagavad Krishna says that that the way Krishna instructs here to Uddhava is somewhat similar to Sugha Brahmarshi saying to Parikshit also. More or less, a state of emergency. Parikshit felt that seventh day its body is going to go. So while speaking to Parikshit, Sugha Brahmarshi is always keeping this in the background. He knows very well that on the seventh day, Parikshit is gone. Before that, if it happens, it has to happen before that. Before leaving that body. Similarly, another emergency situation here. Uddhava is saying to Krishna, my time is running out. I don't have the time. So whatever way you are going to instruct me, it should work for me. And all these processes and yoga systems, what you have spoken before, that is not going to work for me at this stage in my life. At this stage in my life, he says here, that therefore he says to him, that on the seventh day, Sugha Brahmarshi managed to get Parikshit released from this bondage. And that has happened only through the process of hearing. Parikshit escaped from here. So, the other, and similarly here, Krishna also says to Uddhava that these 5-6 verses which I have just read about, if you go and read through those verses, you will see there. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, there is nothing much to be done here. What you have to do is that, Visarjas Mayamananshan Drisham Vridamja Dehim Pranamai Dandavad Bhumav Asha Chandala Gogaram. That is the best thing. That means that all living entities try to recognize Krishna there. How? Pay your obeisances and don't create any kind of vairabuddhi, enmity towards anyone. Remember that whenever you look at anybody, within yourself you pay your obeisances to that person. Pusarjas Mayamanashan Drisham Vridamja Dehigim. And if you do that, pranamai dandavat bhumav asya chandala gogaram, even any living entity in this world, practice this and see what happens. And whatever I have spoken to you, take that message, go to Badrinath, sit there and live in this way and you will go back finally. Krishna gave that guarantee to Uddhava and Uddhava left. So both Parikshit and Uddhava, you can see that in two different ways, it was two emergency cases, accident and emergency. Which is discussed now very seriously. Isn't it? So, emergency for Uddhava and emergency for Parikshit also. And Parikshit's case, Sugha Brahmarshi was at least aware 7 days time he was there. And Krishna, Uddhava on his own is saying to Krishna that I haven't got much time left. And Krishna says, in your case now, what is causing the problem is few things he mentioned there. What is that? He says there that if you look into that verse, he says, Spardha, Asuya, Tiraskaram, Sahangaram, Vyandihi. And he told how these four things, Spardha, Asuya, Tiraskaram, Ahangaram, how they can be overcome by Visarjas, Mayamanansham, Drisham, Vridamja, Dehigim, Praname, Dandavad, Bhumo, Ashajanalakogaram. Spardha, Asuya. Spardha means you have competition with people. That is Spardha. Asuya means envy towards equals. Tiraskara means looking at others as though they are not important. how you're looking down upon others. That's tiraskaram. Tiraskaram is looking down upon others. Sparadha is looking, competing with people higher than you. Asuya is competing with equals. Three levels. These are three impurities inside. He's saying to Uddhava this. Krishna is saying to Uddhava. Sparadha towards the higher. Asuya towards the equal. And tiraskaram towards the lower ones. So people you look down upon. These three things, he says, has to go from inside. At least this much should go from inside. So in order that to happen, Krishna is saying to him that and these three things are centered around one thing. What is that? Ahangaram. False ego. That's what he's saying here. Nareshu abhishnam malbhavam pumso bhavayato achiral. It will happen, my realization will come when spardha asuya tiraskaram. Three things. Sa ahangaram viyandihi. These three things he centered around the false ego. False ego is the pivot. On these three things are rotating around that. So if that ahangaram will go, if these three things goes away from inside. Saying that he gave this a kind of a quick solution. Praname dandavad bhumav asya chandala gogharam. He told him that you fall in front of everyone and pay your obeisances to them and wipe out that person from inside. When you are looking down upon someone, what does that mean? It means that a person is inside, isn't it? So you have to get rid of him from inside. That's the most important thing. And similarly, if a person you are feeling spardha towards someone who is on a higher level, that means that person is inside you. Equally, if you are feeling envy towards anyone, means that person is inside you. So all these three people are inside us. In different forms they come, that's all. It doesn't matter. But it's a form that is present inside. So Krishna is saying that can be wiped out when you see that form, you develop this approach. Praname dandavad bhumav ashva chandala ghogaram. Just like that is what, because ashwam, horses, chandalam, chandalam, because obviously there's chandalas who are the lowest kind of people, and cows and the asses, all of them people can look down upon, isn't it? Because they're animals, you think like that. But even there, Krishna is saying, by developing this, visrajya smayamanan swan drisham vridam ja dehigim. Try to look at them not through the body. That is the solution to that. Visrajya smayamanan swan drisham vridam ja dehigim. If you don't look at them through the body anymore, rather recognizing Krishna's presence there, then praname dandavad bhuma asya chandala gokharam. If you do that, Krishna says you can come out of that. And Krishna says there that it is possible for one can realize in that way. So Krishna does give a lot of options, isn't it? It's not that he doesn't give any options. He does give a lot of options. Now it is up to the person who has come to spiritual life to find out what suits him. And where he is, himself has to, that is the success of spiritual life. It is not due to lack of shastram that we have a problem. Some people think that philosophy is not correct. That's why they are not realizing the self. A lot of people have this misunderstanding. They think that if I'm not a Mayavadi, if I'm a Vaishnava, I will be alright. I'm covered. Whether you're Mayavadi or whether you're Vaishnava, if you are not here clear in your own head what you are on, you're not going to make it. It is not the philosophy that makes it happen. The whole problem is within us, inside us. That's where correction is required. They are thinking that because the philosophy is not right, therefore I got the problem. Philosophy is not the problem. We are the problem. We ourselves are the problem. That is what Krishna's options after options is offering this. How to get there and through various processes. Now, these are all the two important listeners in the Bhagavatam. So we'll have a short break and go to the another listener in the Bhagavatam. ചേതോ ദർപ്പണം അർജനം വോമഹാതാവാഗ്നി നിർവാപണം ശ്രേയ കൈതവ ചന്ദ്രികാ വിതരണം വിദ്യാവധൂ ജീവനം ആനന്ദാംബുദിവർദ്ധനം പ്രതിപദ പൂർണാമൃതാസ്വാദനം സർവാത്മാസുഭനം വിജയദേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ സങ്കീർത്തനം നാനാമകാരി ബഹുധാ നിജ സർവശക്തി തത്രാർപ്പിതാ നിർമിതാ സ്മരണേന കാല ഏതാദൃശം തവ കൃപാ ഭഗവൻ മമാമി ദൈവമേതുഷമിഹാജനിനാനുരാഗാഃ തൃണാരവിശുനീചേന തരോരവീ സഹിഷ്ണുന അമാനിനാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാ ഹരി ജനം ന സുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശ കാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരേ ഭഹദാ ഭക്തിരഹൈതുകി ത്വയി ഐ നന്ദതനൂജകിങ്കരം പതിതാം ആമുഷമേ ഭവാംബുദോ കൃപയാ തവ പാദപങ്കജസ്ഥിതധൂളി സദൃശം വിചിന്തയാ യുഗായിതം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായിതം ശൂന്യായിതം ജഗൽ സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേണ മേ. ആശ്ലേഷ്യവാം പാദരതം പിനഷ്ടുമം അദർശനം മർമഹദാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദദാ ദുലംബട മത്പ്രാണനാഥാ സുദേവനാപരാം. So we are discussing about this Shravanam process, isn't it? Shravana Yoga, or what Krishna calls it as Nityam Shruti Parayana. You can see one thing, that those two verses, which one? The verse 25 and 26. ധ്യാനേന ആൽപനി പശ്യന്തി കേചിത് ആത്മാനം ആത്മന അന്യേ സാംഖ്യേന യോഗേന കർമ്മയോഗേന ചാപരെ. ദാറ്റ്സ് 26, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? 26. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ സ്റ്റാൻഡേർഡ് പ്രോസസ്.
25,
യാ. ദാറ്റ്സ് ദി സ്റ്റാൻഡേർഡ് പ്രോസസ്. മീൻസ് ധ്യാനം, വിച്ച് ഈസ് ഭക്തി ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ്, ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ജ്ഞാനം, ആൻഡ് ദെൻ കർമ്മം. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ സ്റ്റാൻഡേർഡ് പ്രോസസ് കൃഷ്ണ സ്പോക്കൺ. ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ഫൈൻ, ദെൻ ഹി നെക്സ്റ്റ് വേർഡ്സ്, that is the 26th verse, he's talking about anyetvam ajanandam. There are people who do not know these three processes, he says. Generally, people are not aware of those three. But shutva anyebhi upasade, but they have some good fortune that they have this good quality capacity to hear nicely. And if they come into contact with a realized soul or a jnani, or one who has got this anubhuti, aparoksha anubhuti it is called, aparoksha anubhuti it is called, that they have experience of the self, the realization. And if they hear from them, they will also escape, Krishna says. They are also possibly escaping. And it is then that we started looking at what is the Shravanam process for those who are in that. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the best example of this Shravanam, hearing. Isn't it? Because Bhagavatam is a direct proof of that. Directly through Shravanam process, how Parikshit escaped. And through Shravanam process, Uddhava also finally got released from this birth. So there we have looked at these two examples. One, Shuga and Parikshit, a perfect situation. First class speaker, realized the soul. And a first class listener who is in that state, ready to, the radar is kept very well. Direct to receive the message properly. Parikshit had no desire in this life He knew that his time is limited, 7 days time he has got. And he knew very well that this kingdom, this opulences and everything is not worthwhile chasing after. Why? Just a small 5-year-old Brahmana boy, he spoke something with his mouth, and in that few words, the whole kingdom is going to be taken away from him, isn't it? Parikshit is going to lose his life. How conscious Parikshit was about that. Imagine that. Parikshit knew very well, just a small Brahmana boy, 5 years old, by his words, he could destroy Parikshit's life in this world. Seeing that terminal, temporary nature of this world, Parikshit became so serious in spiritual life that he just wanted to hear the truth from Shuga Brahmarshi. And fortunately, Krishna sent Shuga Brahmarshi there to speak to Parikshit. So therefore, both as a speaker and a listener, both of them were fully qualified. Completely, fully qualified. That is why even they are considered superior to Vedavyasa and Narada Muni. And even more qualified than Sudha and Shavanaka Rishi. Generally, when we talk about Bhagavadam, these three sets of Samvadam is taken. Narada Vyasa Samvadam, Narada Maharshi and Vedavyasa. Sudha Shavanaka Samvadam, Sudha Goswami and Shavanaka Rishi. And then Shuga Parikshit Samvadam. This is in three different levels Bhagavadam is discussed. Why these three levels are spoken? To show to us who is the best speaker and who is the best listener. What is their qualification, in other words? The best speaker is one who is like Shuga Brahmarshi. The best listener is one who is like Parikshit. Even though Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Vedavyas, even though he learned from Narada Maharshi Bhagavatam, still they are not the best. Shuga Brahmarshi and Parikshit is the best. You see that? What does it indicate? Even though it has come from Narada Maharshi and Vedavyas, in realization, Shuga and Parikshit is on a higher level than Vedavyas and Narada Maharshi. Bhagavatam confirms this. And in order to show that, Shaunaka Rishi and Sudha Goswami were not at all anywhere near to Shuga and Parikshit, not even closer to Narada Maharshi and Vedavyas. That is why when it comes to Sudha Shaunaka Samvadam in the Bhagavatam, you will see a lot of things which are not important in realizing the self. In realizing the self. What we have to learn from this is this. That when you see Sudha asking, Shaunaka Rishi asking question and Sudha answering, if our questioning and answering is in the same level, then you can take it that you are in that level. Just like you will ask questions which are completely irrelevant to self-realization. Like somebody was asking the other day that somewhere there is a statement that Krishna appears once in a day of Lord Brahma. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears once in a day of Lord Brahma. When Krishna appears in the same, the Kali Yugam which follows that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. There is a statement in some Puranam or somewhere, it is like that. So their question was, how often Singhamurti appears? How often? Does he appear once in a Lord Brahma, life of day of Lord Brahma, or twice in a day of Lord Brahma? So if you go in this way, that means you are more interested in the details, which is of not much use to you. Suppose the Singhamurti appears twice or thrice or four times. Does that make any difference to your spiritual life? But our mind is like that. We become more like a history student. And Puranam, if you start going in that direction, you will be lost. You won't be get anywhere in Puranam if you start research like this. That they are discussing this. A few very senior devotees sitting together for half an hour, they discuss this topic to find out how many times the Singhamurti appears in this world. This is indicating to us that our conditioning of the mind, we get into this kind of questions. We want to find out how Because we are seeing, what does it indicate? What is indicating to us is that our line of inquiry is not correct. We are following, when you read Puranam particularly, any Puranam doesn't matter, you will find contradictions from one Purana to the other. Contradictions between Mahabharatam and Bhagavatam. There is contradictions many places. If you start looking all that contradictions, eventually you will have to reject everything. It won't help you very far. So that is where you just have to be that focused on what you want from the Shastram. Shastram is there to help you and make you conscious of your own self-realization. That is the goal. What is necessary for that? You will have to find that in the Shastram. That's up to us to do it. So here, coming back to this. So what we are talking about was that two kinds of personalities, Shuga and Parikshit, the best speaker, best listener. If you look at Parikshit's questions and Shuga Brahmarshi's answers, you will see the urgency in Parikshit. And you can also see Shuga Brahmarshi was constantly aware when the time was running out of the 7 days. Some of the words he has used in the middle of the Bhagavatam while addressing Parikshit and asking Parikshit, do you want to hear anything more from me? Indicating to us that Shuga Brahmarshi was constantly aware that the time is on its way out. It's going to run. So there, Shuga Brahmarshi Parikshit relationship is considered in the Bhagavatam as the best speaker and the listener. Krishna and Uddhava spoke. Of course, they are on a different level altogether. Uddhava asked us in a stage in life where does not want to do anything in this world anymore. As far as the world is concerned, Uddhava knows his body is going. It's finishing. It's coming to an end. At this stage, talking about Karma Yogam and other yoga processes is no meaning to Uddhava, isn't it? Uddhava has, what can Uddhava do? Is hard, he doesn't know, he knows very well that it's almost coming to an end. And so Uddhava is asking to Krishna that, I have done all my life, I have served you, but still I don't have that realization of the self yet, what I am. I don't know what I am. What should I do now? This was Uddhava's question. And Krishna, seeing Uddhava's predicament, told him that I'll give you a clue now what you should do, and told him in those few verses that Visarjas Mayamana and Swan Drisham Vridam Cha Dehigim. Uddhava, somehow or the other, freedom from this body must happen. It is going to come now. But prior to that, you should leave the body. This was the idea behind it. And in order to leave your own body, these four things will be their problem, which are the Spardha, Asuya, Tiraskaram, Ahangaram. And these three things are tied down to Ahangaram. Which one? Spardha, Asuya, Tiraskaram. These three things are tied down to Ahangaram. Ahangaram can go if these three things have gone. So, in order to that to happen, he says to him, Uddhava, I will give you a very, a kind of a magic-like thing, solution, that praname dandavat bhumav asho chandala ghokharam. Whatever you have heard, keep it in your mind, but with all other living entities, you break your connection in this way. How to break the connection is not external. Our connection is inside, isn't it, in the mind. To break that connection, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, praname dandavat bhumav asho chandala ghokharam, that it's a very general statement. In other words, higher level, equal, and a lower level. This we have in our dealings with this world, with every living entity. It will fall into one of these three categories, is it not? So, all those categories, taking into account, Krishna says, break the connection in this way. How? Praname dandavat bhumav asho chandala ghokaram. By continuously paying your respects to them and clearing them up from inside. If you keep on respecting every living entity, what will happen? The hate or ragam or dvesham, what has been built up, that will go eventually. Only if there is ragadvesham inside, the connection is there. If there is no ragadvesham inside, there is no connection with anybody. So, Krishna tells him a very shortcut to Uddhava. Do this to everybody and go to Badrinath with what I have spoken to you. Sit there and reflect on this, what I have spoken, and come back to me. This is the way Krishna instructed Uddhava. with Arjuna, Krishna didn't say like that, did he? Totally opposite. So, two disciples, Krishna, these two are major, Krishna's two important disciples. To Arjuna, Krishna says, you should not give up fighting, fight. Stay here, fight and go through this and let the Kshatriya's vasanas finish first and then knowledge after that. Through that karmam, free yourself from that. Because for Arjuna needed that karma yoga. Uddhava didn't need karma yoga. Uddhava needed jnanam more than the karma. And even when that jnanam was given to Uddhava, Uddhava still found that difficult to handle it. And therefore, that shortcut was given to him. Praname Dandavat Bhumav. Because Krishna saw this problem, that Uddhava's problem was, he was complaining there, even the yogis are finding it difficult with their mind. His mind is like that, isn't it? So, or Krishna says to Uddhava that this is the easiest process, knowing very well that time is limited and Uddhava is on his way. So, Krishna is also leaving. Krishna says to Uddhava, now you go to Badrinath, keep this Praname Dandavat Bhumav, Ashwa Chandala Bhumav. That way, you can remove the people from inside, one after the other. Because you can see yourself, through your dealings in this world, you have got problems. Through your harem, they have come in. Is it not? Through your harem only they have come in. Whether they are friends, they are family members, or through society, whatever it is. Through Vyavaharam they have got inside and you have to get rid of them from inside, and that is the easiest process. Krishna is saying that not to cultivate new Vyavaharam, one thing, so that the new things don't start, but existing Vyavaharam to get rid of them from inside. That is the easiest process, what Krishna says there. And so this is this one, two personalities, Uddhava and Parikshit in the Bhagavata. Now if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see another personality there who is that a different kind of shrota, different kind of listener. Who is that? Chitrakedu. Chitrakedu in the sixth canto. This Chitrakedu, he was a king, wasn't he? Great king. He was a king and he also had desire to go back to Krishna. He had a desire to go back to Krishna. And he had a great spiritual master who, Angiras and Narada Maharshi, but Angiras came to him first. It was Angiras who came to him first. So Angiras came to him, and when he came there, his intention was, the king had no children. That's when Angiras came in. So Angiras came up to him and wanted to give him instructions on spiritual life. And Chitrakedu didn't want to hear anything, any of this Brahma Vidya. He says, I am not in the mood to listen to anything. I want a son. That's all what he wanted at that time. And Angiras immediately understood what the problem is. He says to him that no matter whatever Angiras told Chitrakedu, he has got only this one answer. I want a son. I want a son. So, continuously, anything when Angiras spoke to him, Chitrakedu's answer was, what is the use of my life in this world? Who do I hand over this kingdom to? Who is going to administer the kingdom? And what will happen to me after death? So Angiras had his own logic. He was saying all these things to him. So Angiras understood that as long as this desire is there, it is no point in talking to him about spiritual life. Talking to him about spiritual life. So the first thing is that that desire must go from inside. There is no other way it's going to happen. So, only when that desire is taken out from inside, and then you instruct him about the truth, then he will experience it. Otherwise, it is not going to happen. So, therefore, what did he do? He told him that perform this sacrifice. If you look at there, you will see a little bit resemblance of Ramayanam there, in that Chitrakedu story. He told him to perform the similar Putrayameshti Yagam. And from there, that charu, what they call it as the havisa, what comes from that, give it to your wife, to Kritadyuti, and then she will become pregnant and you will have a son and all that. But that son will give you a lot of happiness and will give you a lot of distress as well. Both the things. So, Chitrakedu, when Angiras is saying all these things, look at Chitrakedu. Chitrakedu says, oh, I'm going to have a son. And he's going to give me a lot of happiness. Yes, yes, I'll have that. But he told him that you're going to have a lot of distress as well from Chitrakedu. He's not hearing it. It's only theory. We are like that. We will only hear 50% what we want. We don't want to hear the other 50%. Other 50%, I've not heard that. Oh, you didn't tell me that. Then I didn't know about that. It was said to Angiras later. That, oh, I didn't know that. You have told me that. Although very clearly Angiras put it to him that this child who is going to be your son, he will give you a lot of happiness, but then he will give you a lot of distress and then go. There was no other way that he could correct Angiras. Angiras could correct Chitrakedu. There was no other way. I was saying this example before, that if the spiritual master is of that standard, like Angiras Maharshi, famous personality, Narada Maharshi's close friend, isn't it? So personalities like them, and Chitrakedu was a good king, and he had some knowledge also, and he had some good intention, but this little attachment was there in family life, having a children. So therefore, when he came to him, then he told him that the child will give you a lot of happiness and distress, and you will get both happiness and distress from that child, both will come. And the child was born in that way. After a few days' time, all the other co-wives, they poisoned that baby and the baby died, isn't it? So, and in the same way, it has happened. When the baby was born, Chitrakedu was in absolute bliss that somebody has come in the family and was celebrating. I don't know how long that birthday party lasted, but it lasted a long time. And then one day, this incident happened, the baby died through the... So, and it was at that time that he felt intense happiness. He happened to Chitrakedu first. And then when the baby died, both Kritadyuti and Chitrakedu became intensely distressed. Very intense distress also followed that. And when that intense distress was going on, Angiras came there with Narada Maharshi. Initially only Angiras came first. Second time, Angiras brought Narada Maharshi also with him. And they asked the king, why do you cry? They are asking the king. King is saying, my son died, he says. So then, at that time, Angiras says to him, my dear king, know one thing, that there is no rule in this world that everybody will have children and everybody will not have children. There is no such rule, written rule anywhere about this. And just like, you see the example, that if you plant a seed, not all the seeds will sprout and plants will come out and they will give the results. Some of them will, some of them won't, he said. I came to tell you about this before, but you won't listen. Who said this? You look at the verse in the Bhagavatam, how he said that. If you look into the sixth canto, the words what Angiras, how he puts it to him. In the sixth canto, it is in the 15th chapter, verse 20th, he says. Tadaiva Angira Vacham, verse 20, 15, 6, 15, 20. Tadaiva de param yanam dadami grihama agada nyatva anyabhinivesham te putrameva dadavaham. That's that verse. Says to him, I have come to your palace param yanam dadami to give you the highest knowledge of the self of Brahman. Brahman realization, self-realization. I have come to your palace to give it to you. Tadaiva te param jnanam dadami griham agada. I came to your palace for that purpose. But what was the situation? Jnatva anyabhinivesham te putrameva dadavaham. This is called in Shastram anyabhinivesham. Anyabhinivesham means it is one of the bhumika in the jnanamargam. Anyabhinivesham is like this, that you have got some obsession with something. You can't come out of it. Some people have that, isn't it? A kind of obsession. When people are obsessed with various things, some people are obsessed with money. Some people are obsessed with attachment to someone. They can't. Sometimes you will see two people, they loved each other. And then you see anything happens between the relationships, he kills the other person. And you say to them, I loved him so much, that's why I killed him. it's kind of, it has become an obsession in them. In other words, it becomes like that. So this kind of obsession in English you'll say, but the right word is anyabhinivesham. That is the right word to express that. Anya abhinivesham. What does it mean is, anya means to see that something else exists outside you. Actually, only self exists. When you see that something else exists outside the self, it is called anyabhinivesham. It's a bhumika. Bhumika means it's a platform in the different steps in the jnanamarga. It comes like that. So he says here, jnatva anyabhinivesante. Your anyabhinivesham at that time was putrameva dadamyaham. I want a son, I want a son. That's the only song you are singing. Whatever I have spoken, it was no use, he says to him. So after saying this, he says to him that I understood that there was no point in me coming to you to talk about this, he says. And finally he told him that anyabhinivesham, that if so long as this anyabhinivesham means that you have not given importance to realizing the self, in other words. So for Krishna consciousness, for self-realization, these are all obstacles. These are all obstacles. That there, what is required is you can't have desires inside. Remember, Krishna is mentioned in the second chapter itself, in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? What does he say? Prajahadi sada kaman sarvan partha manogadan alpanyu alpana sushta prasadam shari. So that is the, in order that state is necessary. Otherwise, instructing anyone on spiritual life is waste of time. Nothing will happen. It will go through one ear and go through the other ear. So that is, keeping that in mind, he says to him that when you were in that state, I did not want to talk to you about it. And as long as, till you have that feeling inside that I want to escape from here, I want to escape from this body, I want to escape from this existence, material existence, once for all, and get released from here. Till that happens, this instructing from spiritual matter won't work. Won't work. So, even that desire that I want to have a child is an object or is an obstruction for that. So, then Angira says to him that if you have no desires inside, if I have spoken something, it will work like this, he says. That's how confident Angiras was. Angiras is saying to him that if a person has no desire, and if the person who has spoken is Angiras, like this it can happen, he says. So we think self-realization is a big thing, isn't it? But no, it can happen in this way. That that means even the desire for liberation will go from inside. But this desire for liberation is like this. That just like Kandake Kandake Naiva, Uddhava Upadeshan, you will see in the third canto, that with one desire, you take out another desire. With the desire for liberation, you remove all other desires. And finally, you remove that desire also from inside. So, for our king, Chitraketu had this desire, powerful desire inside. What is that? I want a son. I want a son. Because it was there, it was a problem. Now, that is also gone. So, Angira says to him that if you if you are boiling rice in a pot, and how whether the rice is cooked or not, how will you test it? You just take out one grain, and if you press it, you will know that it is cooked or not. Similarly, from one experience in life, you should learn about this whole life. From one experience in life, you should realize the whole life is like this. Exactly, he's giving the example that from the rice pot, the rice is cooking. You take one grain from that and press it and see whether the rice is cooked or not. Similarly, with this one experience, you should know about the rest of the life. Angiras is saying to Chitraketu, actually, Shukla Brahmarshi is talking to us through this So that is what you will see there, three verses after that. Adhuna putrinam tapo bhavaidevanubhuyade evam dara griharayo vividhe aishwarya sambadaha shabdadayascha vishaya chala rajya vibhudaya mahi rajyam balam kosham vritya amatya suhruljanaha sarvebi shura seneme shogamoha bhayartidaha gandharva nagara prakhya swapnamaya manavarathaha. That is it. Three verses. And in these three verses, if you look, what is he got to say? Our Angiras Maharshi is saying to Chitraketu that adhuna putrinam tapo bhavadevanu bhuyate evam dara grihara mai rayo vivid aishwarya sampada. All the king was very very opulent, lot of wealth he had, and his all his opulences and family members and a big householder life he had there. All of that, he says here, that shabdadayascha vishayaschala rajya vibhudaya. That is all just words, and it's also only vishayam, sense objects. Mahi rajyam velam kosham vritya amatya suhurjana. Your society, relations, servants, the kingdom, and your strength and the wealth. All of them is nothing but just words, nothing more than that. Then, sarvebi shura senemi shoka moha bhayartidaha. My dear king, remember this, he said, here's the kingdom of shura sena, he was, that they will only bring you finally shogam, moham, bhayam, arti. Hankering, lamentation, fear, and creating illusion inside. Then he says, Gandharva Nagara Prakhya, Sopnamaya Manoreda. My dear king, it is like a Gandharva's kingdom. Gandharva Nagaram, this is, this so-called life. Gandharva Nagara Prakhya, and it will go like Sopnam, like a dream, it will pass through. Sopnamaya Manoreda, Maya's another way, creating an illusion inside you, and you are trapped in that. So, the Chitraketu said this to, Angira said this to Chitraketu to tell him that this is what you were at that time when I came to you first time. So it is like this, he said, your house, the wealth and the kingdom and the ministers and the servants and the wives, all of them will eventually give you distress. And it is like a magic. It is like a magic. And when the magic is going on, it's like a Gandharva's castle, Gandharva's fort. You will think everything is wonderful, it's working. And it will start appearing in front of you like a Gandharva's palace, and it will disappear also from inside. But remember, it's all a lie. It's all a lie. So, instead of putting your faith in this Dvaitam, it is all the Dvaitam. Instead of putting all your faith in the Dvaitam, remove your chittam separately from this and keep your chittam balanced in all these states and absorb in the soul. Says Angiras to him. And instead of that, and it is only that purpose, I have brought Narada Maharshi with me. And he introduced Narada to him, and saying this, Narada Maharshi instructed Chitraketu on the spiritual life. That's what you find there. The Sasmad Drishyamana Vinartena na Drishyande Manobhava Karma Bir Dhyayedo Nana Karmani Manaso Abhavan. I am hi Dehino Deho Dravyajnana Kriyalpaga Dehino Vivisa Klesha Sandabaku Udu Udahrda Tasmad Sustena Manasa Vimrishagadi Malpana Dvaide Dhuartha Vishramam Tejo Upashama Mahavisha. After that, Narada Maharshi gives instructions to Chitraketu. 7 days time, Yam Dharayan Sapta Ratra Drashta Sangarshanam Prabhu. If you chant this mantra for 7 days and nights, you will receive the mercy of Lord Balram, Sangarshanamurti. You will see him, and that's what happened to Chitraketu. Chitraketu, after 7 days time, he chanted continuously, because at that stage, the instruction worked for Chitraketu. And Chitraketu was instructed, and And because of the power of that Upasana, and because Narada Maharshi has instructed him, he became a Vidyadhara. He became the body of a Vidyadhara. Balaram gave him this body of a Vidyadhara. And in that Vidyadhara's body, he enjoyed so well. What does that mean? All his pious activities results got destroyed in that Vidyadhara's body. And all his sinful activities, what he has done as a king in that body, the sinful reactions were also destroyed when he got the body of Ritrasura. He became the body of Ritrasura. And after that was destroyed, in that demoniac body, he realized the self. In the demoniac body, he realized the self. Isn't it? Which is quite an unusual thing to happen. That you see like this, in Bhagavatam, you will see a few examples like this. Krishna bringing some personalities, and in the demoniac body, they're realizing the truth. That's interesting. Like you can see Prahlada, born as the son of Hiranyakashipu, is a demoniac family, but realizing the self in that body. So, body is not everything. It's not everything. That it can happen even in that body. Prithrasura is another example. And same thing in Ramayana, Vibhishana. In the demoniac body, he realizes the truth, isn't it? So, and finally, he realizes this truth and gives up his body as Vritrasura. He gives up the demoniac body of Vritrasura and realizes the self and goes back to the, realizes the truth and goes to the spiritual world. So, if the listener, if he has no desire, if he has no desire, like the way it has to happen this way, Chitraketu's case. And if the vakta, the speaker is a jnani, is a realized soul, it will happen instantaneously. It can happen instantaneously. Now, if the listener has got desires, but if he knows that the final goal is self-realization, the acharya or the person, the speaker, if he is a realized soul, he will be in a position to help that listener to come out of that desire and realize the self. Now, that is where we will stop today, and then we'll continue next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.